14 days to flatten the curve. Wear the mask. Take the shot. You can't get COVID. You can't spread it. All horse crap. And they used COVID to derail Trump's last recovery. And now, as I predict, they're using war to do it.
If you spend too much time on Twitter or get your news from the liberal mainstream media, you may have gotten the impression that the president's supporters are abandoning him in droves over Operation Epic Fury, his war to prevent your grandchildren from having to face off against a nuclear-armed Iran. Our hapless president has been dragged into this war against his will by the nefarious Bibi Netanyahu, according to people like Tucker Carlson, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Megyn Kelly, and now Joe Kent. Alas, none of that is true. The narrative that MAGA is split over Iran, beloved by the liberal media and the anti-Israel far left and right, is complete fiction. Far from a betrayal, poll after poll after poll has found massive, overwhelming support for the president's strikes on Iran among Republican voters, upwards of 85%.
Here's what I tell President Trump. Keep it up for a few more weeks. Take Karg Island, where all of the resources they have to produce oil, control that island. Let this regime down a vine. Mm-hmm. I trust DOD. We got two Marine Expeditionary Units sailing to this island. We did Iwo Jima. We can do this.
Welcome to Pickens. Thank y'all for coming. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Trump is against that entire globalist plan of austerity and against their carbon taxes. That's why I've supported him so much, because compared to the Democrats, it's night and day. He really is returning national sovereignty to America and making our own decisions. But my God, then don't make the wrong decisions now that we have a president back in charge. This is so paradoxical, and it's so love-hate for me. And I know I've been right, and I've been proven right again. It's our own government's assessments, for heaven's sakes.
And the last time I saw Charlie Kirk on this earth was in June in the West Wing, in the stairway. And I said hi to him, and he looked me in the eye, and he said very loudly, and it's a small, you've been in the West Wing, it's small, it's a tight space, and he said, Joe, stop us from getting into a war with Iran. Very loudly.
He was single-minded.
And he walked off, and he went, I believe, into the Oval. So when one of President Trump's closest advisors, who is vocally advocating for us to not go to war with Iran, and for us to rethink at least our relationship with the Israelis, and then he's suddenly publicly assassinated, and we're not allowed to ask any questions about that.
That's why the head of the Counterterrorism Center, Joe Kent, quit this week, trying to get Trump to pay attention and change course. Instead, they've been attacking him as a traitor and saying he's a leaker with no evidence.
I can say this. He said very strongly that Iran is not a threat. Iran's been a threat for 47 years, and there's not a country in the world that doesn't agree with me on that. So I take this guy, Joe Kent, who lost twice for Congress, pretty badly and tough, and was devastated. And I know that he lost his wife. So instead of letting him live out his life, I brilliantly have my people call him and offer him a job in security, essentially, in the White House. And what does he do? He goes out and he says that Iran is not a threat. To get publicity. Now, I probably signed up with CNN.
Joe Kent, the former director of the United States National Counterterror Center, this is from Semaphore, he just resigned. He's now under FBI investigation for allegedly leaking classified information. And the investigation predates his departure.
These opening remarks with one other fake news, and that is that Israel somehow dragged the U.S. into a conflict with Iran. Does anyone really think that someone can tell President Trump what to do? Come on. President Trump always makes his decisions on what he thinks is good for America. And may I add, I think what is also good for future generations.
All the anti-Semites, to all the isolationists, I don't believe... Forget it. I'm not with you. I'm with Israel. I will be with Israel to our dying day.
It's the Israel lobby that has the main muscle. Will be pushing this. It's a foreign government. It's illegal as hell. I don't care if it's China, the UK, the EU involved in our politics, and they are too, and it's wrong. We're standing up against that. We're standing up against what Israel's doing. It's wrong, folks. It's unconstitutional. It's illegal, and it's treasonous.
I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra methylene blue. Blue.
I know. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra methylene blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town. I just can't shut up about it, up about it, up about it. Ultra methylene blue, 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 blue. I just can't shut up about it, up about it, up about it, up
about
it. Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
You're watching The American Journal with Tim Tompkins and Rex Jones. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome to the show, guys. Really happy to be here with you today. Rex Jones and Tim Tompkins hosting The American Journal. Whatever you're doing, whether you're on your morning drive, getting your morning coffee, maybe lifting at the gym or taking care of your kids, welcome to the show today. We've got a lot prepared, a lot developing.
Yeah, we got a lot developing. Glad you guys are able to tune in with us again. It's honestly a pleasure to be able to do the American
Dude, Journal. It's amazing. It's awesome. Like, you get to wake up early and then come here, and then we're live, and we walk out of here at like 11. Yeah. It's like the perfect time of day. Go get something to eat. It's been awesome.
It is. It has been awesome. And we've got a lot of stories developing. We are going to be doing a deep dive during the second hour.
Right.
And the things that we're going to be covering there, you guys are not going to want to miss that. We're going to be covering everything about this $200 billion in the Pentagon.
Crazy.
Crazy amount of money. We failed 8 audits, right?
Yeah.
And we're still asking for an additional $200 billion. And it doesn't make any sense. So I wanted to break that down for you guys. And we're going to be going through everything, where that money's going, who's getting paid, who's benefiting. You're going to find all of that. So
these are really going to be very, very, very informationally dense shows that we're going to do for you. This isn't going to be a casual experience. It's going to be a deep dive. You're going to get to learn what's really going on at a high level. We're going to give that 30,000 foot overview. I'm really excited about that. We've also got some lighter stuff as well. We've got Brylan Hollihan. He's written a book. We've got some issues with Tim Dillon and AI. But we've also got Mark Levin versus Joe Kent, which I've been looking forward to since it was announced. I didn't think that that was ever going to happen.
No, neither did I. And I'm excited to see what you've got pulled up for that, because these are things that are happening in real time. And again, I say that these people are also detached from reality, but, you know, I stand.
Well, it's so weird, right? I mean, it's like you're the biggest celebrity on earth if you're involved in politics, and then something happens to you, and then suddenly everyone knows your name. You know, like if Trump gets in a fight with MTG, everyone knows who MTG is from now on.
Yes.
Like when Trump gets in a fight with Joe Kent, or when Joe Kent leaves the administration, everyone knows who he is now, right?
Yeah.
So you see people like Tucker and Levin, and they do these interviews, and they put them behind paywalls. And it's like, okay, like, we understand, like, we get what you're doing, but, like, can you be a little less shameless about it, maybe?
Yeah, can they be a little less shameless? Other things we got in here is the Diego Garcia attack. I want to talk a little bit about that.
Sure.
Because that has to do with Israel.
It has a lot of implications.
It has to do that with the United States, and actually the missile capability of Iran itself, because, you know, they said they could only reach 2,000 miles, but that location's a lot further away, so.
Right, and like, to Netanyahu, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened. Because mm-hmm. he's running around saying, see, I told you, I was right, I was right, I was always right. But we're going to get into all of it today. I'm really excited for the deep dive. I want to learn about the $200 billion in Pentagon additional spending that they're requesting from Congress. I want to hear about the justification of it. I want to hear about how much money they've already spent. So we're going to get into that, where your tax dollars actually go. I think that's a very important topic.
We also have Alex Stein.
That's what I was going to say. We're going to have Alex Stein joining us in the third hour. He's doing a lot of man on the street stuff. Just like I interviewed the boomer, he went out there and talked to people about the war and about their feelings on the Supreme Leader and stuff like that. I saw a video of that. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. That stuff, you just realize from those man on the street conversations how little people pay attention to what's
happening. Dude,
it's
crazy. It's crazy because I must have asked like 100 people, right? I must have asked 100 people questions. And only like maybe 8 to 10 responded to me. So like maybe you can get like 10% of people to even like give you like a passing glance or like acknowledge the question of like, hey, you know, this giant war that's happening that you're all paying for. Like what are your thoughts? What are your opinions on that? And they'll be like, I don't like government. And you're like, okay, well, that's kind of cool. Like, you're going to act on that. Like, are you going to protest or are you involved in this? Are you gathering information about the war? I'm not going to talk about that, man, because people have jobs, people work. I understand that, but ultimately the one person that was proud of their opinion was the person that was pro-war, and that was the boomer that I talked to.
Yeah, and I watched that video, but when you do these man on the streets, like, what is the most difficult part about it? Because a lot of people don't know what it's like to be out there with the microphone.
Sure.
You've been doing this for a long time.
Well, it's like sales, right? You can't be afraid to ask people questions. You can't be afraid to put a line out there. Ultimately, it's a free offer. It doesn't cost them anything to reject it. You're not imposing yourself on people, and you're on a public sidewalk, right? Mm-hmm. So it's about having the mindset of, okay, I'm allowed to ask people questions, and in fact, I should be proud of that because I'm an American citizen exercising my right to journalism and the First Amendment. And that's what that is. It's grassroots, on-the-ground journalism. And, like, what you find with people that start doing stuff like that, like when I started doing stuff like that, it made me a lot more comfortable just talking to people in regular life about politics, which mm-hmm. is why I really like that format. And I think it should be more widespread and should exist everywhere because that's something I think we all need.
Yeah, I mean, politics is the thing that directly impacts every single American. I feel like it's one of the most important topics, if not the most important topic.
And you think about it, think about if things just got like 20% better. Think about how amazing things would be. And that doesn't take that much effort. That takes us getting aware and focusing on our political process. And actually, like we do in the deep dives, which is why I'm always so happy to do the deep dives, it's got to be based in data and information instead of like, I love Trump or I hate Trump. Like both directions don't work. It's TDS in both ways, you see?
Yeah. And instead of actually addressing the issues, people just want to throw names at each other.
Sure.
You have Trump derangement syndrome.
Right.
And it's like, come on now. There's deeper meanings to all of this. There's a lot more information than what the people out there who control the narrative are trying to give to the average person. But a lot of independent news, a lot of independent people who want to cover it, just like you and I.
Sure.
We want to have information that helps the average person because information is everything, folks.
I call it informed consent. Just like a doctor, if they give you like a pill or whatever, they have to tell you if it might like, do something bad to you, right? Mm-hmm. So like, hey, like if we're going to have these giant omnibus spending packages, if we're just going to go 200 billion Ukraine, 200 billion,
you get 100 billion
Iran war. If we're just going to toss money out like this, well, like, what's the actual cost on the people? Where does this actually come from? What does it look like over time for the nation?
Yes.
And we don't do these things because it's just like, yeah, like we don't look at it. And that's why we went from 17 trillion under Trump's first term to now we're close to 40.
It's just,
right? It's just, we don't care.
Just think about that.
Uh-huh.
The deficit doubled. In just under
ten years.
Yeah, just under 10 years, the deficit has doubled. It doesn't make any sense. And that means prior to, we were going at a slower pace. It's like, why do we allow these things to just happen, Rex?
Well, I mean, it's like I said, like being on the street, the vast majority of people, they won't even acknowledge you. And the ones that will acknowledge you realize that something is wrong, but they're too busy. They're too tired to do something about it. And like, it was positive to see that the only person that was pro-war was like someone that was like 70 years old, right? Like that was positive to see. There were tons of people yelling various things and whatnot. Nobody wanted to engage. They wanted to yell things like Free Palestine and whatnot, which I agree with, by the way. But here's the thing. If you have an opinion like that and you can't back it up with facts or logic, it's just something you believe because you've been taught to believe it. Well, like you actually are hurting your own cause,
yeah.
Right? Because you can't defend it and then someone's going to come dunk on you.
Yeah, we have this thing called an availability heuristic or bias.
Sure.
Essentially what that means is that you're just regurgitating the most recent information that you see, let's say on the internet.
Active recall.
Yeah, and you're just using your active recall in order to just say like, okay, well, I'm an expert on this thing. And the first thing that you see, if you see that over and over and over again, you take it as truth.
And that's the headline people.
That is just the headline people. But then we realize as we do these deep dives or as we give more information or look into the specifics, the headline is almost never reflective of what's actually happening in these situations.
Sure. It's almost cartoon bad the way they write things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they design it to be framed in a way so that the low propensity voter, the low information person that's just going to be like, oh, like I'm like a girl scrolling on my cell phone. And I was like, oh, I see it on Snapchat News, so it must be true.
Yep.
It must be true Iran is defeated. Yep. Right? And that's the thing is that I've talked to some of these people, and they think things are going on that just aren't real. I mean, this girl, I'm remembering this now. This girl, I talked to this girl a year ago, and she was like, well, Zelensky's really getting serious. And I was like, oh, really?
What does that even mean?
Well, don't worry. The hundreds of billions and the hundreds of thousands of men that have died and the inexorable loss of territory that he's had, he's figuring things out. He's going to beat Putin. So like these are the things that people will tell you, and it's just because they've read something, and I get you want to believe in the Star Wars story, but what does the deep dive do? It kills the Star Wars story because we look and there's fraud everywhere.
Yes. You know, let's get into the first thing
here. Absolutely. Which one would that be?
Let's talk about Brian Holland, because I know you said he's got a book that he's coming out with.
Yeah, so this is real quick. We don't have to spend too much time on it.
Very quickly.
Here's the thing. This is just a marketing masterclass, okay? I want you to look at this Fox News clip. Let's play the one of the Fox News clip first. He's holding up his own book like it's a Bible. He's now an author. So I've decided, Tim, that I have to become an author as well.
Isn't this the guy that they said would replace Charlie Kirk?
Yes. They were running him for a little while. He's kind of grown in like a weed tent, you know, but he's running around now with his book. Here's the thing. When they have him on Fox News on the lower third with his like name and information, they call him an author. So I'm going to write a book now too, because I want to be author, esteemed intellectual. I have a giant head as well. Brian Hollyhead isn't the only one with that superpower. Mm. So why not? Why can't I be an author too? Let's roll the clip.
This isn't just some like rumor, like, oh, the Iran might attack us. They've attempted to kill our president, and we don't know how many supercells have come across our border. They could be right here in Times Square in New York City. We have no idea. Mm-hmm. Actually addressing that threat before it becomes a problem is how we have peace through strength. People forget what that bumper sticker actually means.
Right. All right, if I came on air and I plugged like this and I just held it up for the entire like 30 minutes that I was live on air, if I did that, wouldn't that be insane?
I'd buy anything that you had, right?
Exactly. And here's the thing. I'll buy his book now too, because that was such a good plug. You think about it. He's like 19 years old. He goes on Fox News. Even if someone else told him to do it, good hustle, kid. Good hustle. Go out there, have ChatGPT, write you a book, 300 pages, make it smart or whatever, and then release it. I just, a little bit white pill for today. You know, the American hustle isn't dead.
Yeah, it isn't dead. But, you know, at the same time, we look at that, he's kind of, they prepped him for this. You know,
sure,
he's
absolutely.
Been preparing for that for his entire life to kind of come into this Charlie Kirk. But, I mean, there's only one Charlie Kirk at the end of the day.
Right. And, well, here's the thing is you can't inorganically create somebody like that. So, like, whatever, like, little, like, runt media creations end up running around, if it doesn't come from, like, an individual base. I mean, me and Tim, I met you in a bar. We were hanging out, mutual friends. We just started talking and hanging out. We organically created a show. It's not like this guy literally, like, they put Roundup on him and put him in the ground and like waited 6 months and then he grew, right? Yeah. So like these people that do these shows that come out of left field, that come out of nowhere, that have no pedigree, I've been doing this since I was 8 years old. The only reason why I do this is because I want to do this. These people, they see it as like a social climbing mechanism.
Yeah, it's an opportunistic,
They don't care about
thing.
The information.
Yeah, 100%. And so that's why I enjoy doing these things or even having the opportunity to host the American Journal, because we're able to do things beyond. But no one's paying us to do this. You know, this is something
that we're
doing
for
the
free.
love of the game.
We love you guys.
Love of the game at the end of the day. I want to start going in. Let's go into sure. Some of the Iran stuff, man, because that is a never-ending story. That is something that we have constantly been involved in. Do you want to talk about this article here that I wanted to talk about?
Yeah, let's do the Diego Garcia.
Yes.
Let's talk about it. So here's the deal. The narrative on why we had to do the war has shifted over and over and over again. At first, in the 12-day war, it's Iran must not have a nuclear weapon. I've got to destroy their sites. And then Trump claims obliteration, right? We come back. We say they're a nuclear threat again. But after the war has started, we now say, oh, they can't have any ballistic missiles because they've shown how dangerous those ballistic missiles are. And any peace deal, I think Israel wants them to not have a program for 5 years and to be limited to under 1,000 missiles. They'll never accept that.
Also, the amount of missiles that we've claimed that they have, or even Israel, we're completely wrong about
that. We have no idea.
We have zero idea. We claimed, and Israel specifically claimed, that they only had about 2,500 missiles.
Come on,
man.
They've
already reported since then that there have been over 2,400 missiles launched at just Israel and the surrounding regions, and they have more capability. They're launching them every single day. Iran has been preparing for this for a very long time. There is no possible way they only have 2,500 missiles.
Well, it's like they treat Iran like it's Saddam Hussein in the 90s. And Saddam Hussein was famous for he shot Exodus missiles at a ship, one of our ships. I think he wounded it. Speculation there. Don't quote me on that. But that army is what they think they're up against now.
Well, and look at that. Look at the photo. Look at the
video. Giant underground
Everything
tunnels.
Is underground. How would you get an account of how many missiles? Like, how can you possibly know that that estimate is accurate?
The peace president sees all. He knows all.
He's got X-ray vision. And you don't think that they're like, they have airtight systems where they're like, okay, this information is only for people who are trusted?
Definitely.
So how do, like, that's what I'm saying. Sometimes I'm like, how do we come up with these estimates in general? Like, how do you really know what the military capacity is of different
countries? The CIA just makes it up. They just make up a number and they bring it to the president. I mean, that's John Ratcliffe's job. I saw a story like a year ago on how he had replaced Tulsi Gabbard. Like Tulsi Gabbard, her role in DIA, and we'll get into DIA later because we'll talk about Kent and Levin and all of the drama there. But her job is actually to gather intelligence from all of the intelligence agencies and to give Trump his briefing. That is her job. But she doesn't do that job. You see, the CIA takes care of that.
And
they're the ones that have all the fun numbers. They know all.
And you know, it's weird because the CIA is like almost like its own entity that the government doesn't really control. Like they operate themselves almost autonomously.
Oh, absolutely.
So like an analyst is in there just typing up. And again, they're relying on information that goes from down to up.
Right? Sure.
So somebody could make a mistake at the ground level, but that gets passed through. And all the person at the top is doing is getting a report. So they're like, oh, this is the number. It has to be this. All right, let's go ahead and report that and let's plan accordingly to this.
We also can't forget that they receive directives from various presidents. And after the president leaves, the directive doesn't just stop. So you have this convoluted plans within plans, what a tangled web we weave type of thing that results in these like multi-generational crises that we're still involved in. I mean, you look at Iran, you look at the Shah, we worked with him, we installed him, we did all that. That didn't work out. The people revolted against us. And even if we say a lot of them want to be free, there was a reason why they did it.
There is a reason why they did it because of the corruption. I mean,
it's also like if you're a sovereign nation, it's like we're America. We're thousands of miles away. This is what it comes down to for me. It's like I saw Kiriakou talk about this. Like every time you bomb a house, you create another terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, like we make our own enemies. We manufacture them. Problem, reaction, solution.
Oh, I mean, look, America would never stand for another country controlling us. So why would we expect another country to also fill the same boots?
Sure. Do you want to talk about Diego Garcia?
Let's talk about Diego Garcia because we've miscalculated not only the missile capabilities of how many missiles they had, but how far they could actually launch missiles. Let's read this article, Rex, if you want to read this. Iran fires missiles at remote UK US base, suggesting long-range capabilities previously denied.
Iran has fired missiles at the joint UK-US Diego Garcia military base in the Indian Ocean, suggesting it is capable of longer-distance attacks than previously known. Iran's reckless attacks lashing out across the region and holding hostage the Strait of Hormuz are a threat to British interests and British allies, a spokesperson for the UK's Ministry of Defense said Saturday, confirming the unsuccessful strike. Tehran fired two intermediate-range ballistic missiles at the base in the Chagos Islands, a remote British overseas territory located more than 2,000 miles away from Tehran, Iran's semi-official Mehr News Agency reported on Saturday. Neither missile hit the base, it added, though neither Iran nor the UK specified how close the missiles came to Diego Garcia. Your thoughts?
Yeah, so let's unpack this.
I'll read the last line. It ties it all together. The distance of the attempted strike could indicate that Iran has capabilities for long distance attacks that it has previously denied, with the base, the same distance from Iran as much of Central Europe. It is unclear, however, if the missiles carried a payload or how far such an attack could truly reach, as neither missile reached its target.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really matter here whether or not the missile would have actually landed or not.
Okay.
The thing that you got to pay attention to is the distance itself. I think that that base is like 3,000 to 4,000 miles away.
Okay.
And the reason why Iran has kept it under 2,000 is because that was a limit in place under the previous supreme leader. They basically didn't want to seem like, okay, if we have longer range capability, that creates a threat.
We're being perceived as a threat.
Exactly. So now you look at it and now that Khomeini is dead.
Right.
You know what that means, right? That means that someone else is in control
And I think they had the capability. They were just keeping it from, you know, the wider audience.
Dude, I wonder if the sun is alive. I think about this all the time. Is the new Ayatollah, is the new Khomeini, the one they're slandering and they're just calling him gay.
It's perfect for
our media. They just call you gay.
I have yet to see a video that confirms it. I have yet to see him on camera that says, hey, I'm here, guys. I'm alive. I don't have a broken limb or my leg blown off from the bunker buster bomb that we threw down but there.
If you were him, wouldn't you pretend to be dead?
Would you?
Well, you could still run everything,
if
right?
You could.
This is James Bond stuff we're talking about. They're shooting missiles, nuclear threat, power plants, infrastructure, oil rigs, oil refineries, oil tankers. This is stuff I have never seen this before. This is crazy.
Yeah, this is crazy. I think this is the biggest escalation that we've had because, previous conflicts, if you just think about, Vietnam, if you think about Afghanistan,
sure.
Iraq, they weren't as widespread, if you think about it.
It didn't have the potential to become like a regional war.
Yeah.
In the way this does. Or a global war, quite frankly.
It was very concentrated to those specific regions.
Vietnam didn't have no Strait of Hormuz.
No. Not at all. I mean, even Iraq wasn't doing anything nearly to the same level because they had already been decapitated from prior when they had invaded Kuwait.
We backed Saddam and we helped Saddam fight the Iranians and Saddam lost to the Iranians and then we turned on Saddam.
Oh, we do that all the time.
America!
That's our playbook.
Yeah. Seriously, wow.
But like, the whole thing of this, with this 2,000 mile capability and why this is important is because it's like, okay, what else have we underestimated about the Iranians? That's the scary part.
I think the main things are drone capacity. I think they probably got, you know, thousands or maybe tens of thousands of those things left. I mean, why wouldn't they? If they cost 10 grand to make and you got 20 years to make them and ultimately, even though they're broke and we sanction the hell out of them, they still have some money. And if all they're going to spend on is their military, just like we do, right?
Well, and even though we sanctioned Iran, we didn't have capability to keep them from the black market.
True.
I mean, you have all things like crypto. They've got underground agencies that they can trade with other countries. There's all different types of backdoors, and we've tried for a very long time to siphon it out. But for them to build that many missiles or even have the military capability, they've been doing something behind the scenes.
Absolutely. I think that's fair to say. No one knows what's coming next. We've been warned by Trump that more strikes will come. I think we're past the deadline now if they didn't agree to whatever he asked them to agree to. So we'll see how that develops. We're going to track all these. We got a lot more coming up for you. You're going to want to stay tuned.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're pretty schizophrenic right now about what we're going to do. Sometimes I'm going to do it. I'm not going to do it.
That's right.
I'm going to bomb you.
That's literally what he said. He's like, maybe I'll do it. Maybe I won't. And it's like, okay, well, that's not what we voted for. We voted for you to not do it. Okay. Like this is very, very simple. We voted for no new wars. It was a campaign promise. Tulsi Gabbard sold a shirt for $40. It said no war with Iran. And then people will come at us. We're just looking at information. We're like, this is so horrible. You're like, you don't support Trump. And it's like, he don't support us. Ultimately, at the end of the day, we'd like for him to, we'd beg him to, but he doesn't listen. You know, he listens to the CIA director. So the American public has to get upset enough about this that people realize this isn't acceptable.
No. How much longer do you think we got?
Man, before it expands further?
Yeah. Or do you think that we're going to stop this within the next few weeks, couple weeks, or do you see this going on?
From what I've heard, from the information that I've been disseminating, Iran talks to America primarily through like intermediaries, like the foreign minister of Pakistan or the foreign minister of Turkey, as an example. And all of these countries, all these various countries are trying to host different negotiations, right?
Yep.
And the Iranians, they've given the demands, like all U.S. bases gone, you're out of the region, you're done. I think there is definitely wiggle room there. And I think they realize that by asking for that, they may not get exactly what they want. But it takes Trump actually willing to make concessions. I don't know if that happens. And that means the war will expand. Thank you so much. We're going to be right back. We got a deep dive coming up. We got Alex Stein in the third hour. And go to alexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com. Check out the iodine, the methylene blue, any of the phenomenal products we have available.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15, 20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke, in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. Now, I've been telling you this for decades, so they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research, the human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer when they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document. The potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation. Total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our ultra methylene blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
Happening, Tim. Talk about the Iranians launching the missiles that don't go all the way, but, you know, the implied threat there for the rest of the world. And we're also going to talk about the USS Gerald R. Ford. And this ship had a lint fire, a laundry fire, and somehow needs 14 months to repair itself.
You think that's the real story?
I don't. I've seen a lot of people speculate online as to what could have happened, whether it had been like a deliberate accident, something that someone set up, or like a serious mutiny or something. Ultimately, with all these events, we won't know for a year to years plus in the future, but eventually we'll know everything.
And the thing I want to touch on with this necessarily isn't even the story in depth here, more of just that concept. The things that are happening right now where it's fog of war and it's unclear who did what first, who did, like, who started, who blew up which plant, it'll all come out. And this is the thing that we got to kind of sadly look forward to, is eventually we're going to know who's responsible for all these things.
Yeah, we're going to know exactly who's responsible for this. Do you think it had to do with anything with attacks or anything, or do you think it's specifically isolated to the actual?
The Iranians claimed like a week or two ago that they made it retreat and that they did something. I don't know if I necessarily believe that. I have to believe that these ships have the best defense systems and also best, you know, knowledge of how to stay thousands of miles away so they don't get hit. But, you know, maybe they got a little too close for comfort. Maybe they paid the price. The USS Gerald R. Ford is now out of commission for at least 12 to 14 months due to the fire that caused by a fluff buildup in a tumble dryer. Can we scroll down to the community note?
How is it that you have an entire, like, multi-billion dollar Ford?
It's our most modern
aircraft carrier being taken out by a simple dryer. Doesn't make any sense. I mean,
we can't allow the dryer to have a nuclear weapon.
And not even just that. Just think about, like, the ability for one small thing to take out an entire system. That is not smart engineering.
Yeah,
There's no way that we built and put so much of American tax dollars into something that was susceptible to something so small. Well, if that is the truth.
I like it. It's just like the F-35 that deploys its flares because it gets shot up by Iranian air defense and then the shrapnel hits it and it has to go down anyway. Like, this is just what happens to America. Cardinal example, okay? We're fighting the Houthis last year because keep in mind, we had our aircraft carriers doing things. You know, we had our ships out there. And you know what happened? They claim that because of the currents and because they forgot to tie it down, one of, I believe it was the F-18, went off overboard the ship and ended up at the bottom of the Red Sea.
Yep.
The Houthis claim they did it. They claim that they shot a missile and they made the ship take emergency evasive action. And that's why that's at the bottom of the ocean. I think that's like $60 million. You know?
Yeah, depending on what type of fighter jet it was. But either way, it's too much at the end of the day, right?
Well, it's just we don't care. Like, and that's the real waste, fraud, and abuse. If you can't get a better example than the military.
No. And that's why I'm doing an entire deep dive during the second hour, because I'm like, how much money do we realistically have? How much are we actually putting towards the budget? Do we even really know what we're doing? How many companies are involved in this? Who's making money? Because at the end of the day, we're kind of all understanding as the American person that somebody is making money from this.
Sure.
And it's not us. You know, we should be getting, you know, it's crazy. You know, there should be like cash back. You know how you get cash back on a credit card? For everything that the government sends, we should be getting cash back.
Whoa. This sounds like the Doge dividends that we were promised and never got. You know, they're going to find the $2 trillion and give the money to the people and whatever. I am Robin Hood. I have a bow. I shoot arrows. All of that. That wasn't true. So that sounds like what you're talking about.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, because at the end of the day, it's our tax dollars. It is something that we are also directly involved in. And if our systems don't work like the Pentagon, then we need to find new ways, because they're spending a lot of money and they're not getting any results. So it's like, okay, where is the conclusion of this? How do we change this situation? How do we get to a point at which we balance the budget? How do we get to a point where we don't have to spend so much on military?
Well, with the Democrats, you have COVID. With the Republicans now, you have total war. Both of these situations are set up so they can just chant those words over and over again and run around in a circle and not actually do any real work and not address Americans' problems. For the Democrats, remember COVID. They wanted to take your rights away. They wanted to take your job. They wanted to make you take an experimental vaccine without your informed consent. And they told you, it's for your safety. It's for your safety. And they yelled that in your face for years. Now with the Republicans, now with Trump, what we're getting is Iran must never have a nuclear weapon. Iran must never have a nuclear weapon, over and over and over again. It's like I was saying earlier, until you're 5 years after and you actually see what happened and where the money went, you can't see the forest for the trees.
Yeah, and this is getting eerily similar to the Vietnam War. If you ever have a chance, go check out some clips watching the rhetoric that was coming out of the government during
Absolutely.
That time period. They were like, everything is going phenomenal. Everything is going as planned.
We're destroying the enemy.
We're destroying the enemy. And meanwhile, every single instance, they knew for a fact that they were not doing nearly as well. And they were, in fact, that they were losing the war because they had no idea where the North Vietnamese were actually camped
out. Sure.
Sure, you know, hid numbers. They killed thousands of civilians.
Millions of people. 2+ million people poisoned with Agent Orange. Nixon literally had a program called Operation Linebacker where they would just go carpet bomb the forest. It's like they order more bombs, they'd use the bombs they have, whatever, drop iron bombs on the forest.
Yeah, and just to add on to that is they would have these kill zones. They basically said, okay, anything within this region is
dead.
Dead on site. You just kill. We've already vetted it. We've already made sure that anybody that is in that region is an enemy. Don't need to worry about it. So when you see the woman and children, it's like, is that really somebody who is?
Dude, they have the nuclear weapon.
Yeah.
It's just like the elementary school we blew up. They have the nukes. We got to do it.
The only reason why I was drawing that parallel is because if the government has lied before, it's very clear that there is that they can do it again. I mean, it's a clear pattern over and over again. So we can only trust half of what we hear and most of what we see.
Sure. Well, you know, someone with principles, you know, someone with honor, someone that actually cared about the things we're talking about, actually, you know, asked for a reason, like, why are we doing this? Why are we fighting this war? And he resigned over it. Joe Kent. Yes. Joe Kent. He left DIA because he realized that, you know, it's a corrupt system and he's not going to be able to affect change. And ultimately, he can't support this illegal war of aggression. Mm-hmm. He went as far as to say the war that his wife had fought in was fabricated by Israel.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's pretty extreme. And you get to a point in public discourse where things like this 10 years ago would have thought to be unthinkable. Things like this happen because of the extreme extravagance of the abuse. Mm-hmm. The way that both the Americans and the Israelis, both deep states, the way that they have waved around the magic wand of power and have made people dance and have abused people and have killed people ultimately en masse, both of our governments have. They're both empire. They're both responsible for it. You have people like Kent. Kent did 11 combat deployments.
Mm.
Oh, imagine. We can't even think about what this guy's been through. And then you have a little turdlet like Mark Levin talking to him like he's like a prison psychiatrist or something. Joe, can you hear me, Joe? Calm down, Joe. Lithium isn't working, Joe. He's not insane, Levin. You're insane. You have cognitive dissonance. You can't accept the truth.
Yes. I mean, anybody who's been through combat knows exactly how dangerous those situations is. And if you're directly involved in those situations, you have more merit than the guy who's just sitting behind the cushy desk. Just
absolutely.
Like, oh, well, you know, we'll just make this decision today.
Sure. And, you know, there's the other side of that coin. We got Eyepatch McCain. We got people like Crenshaw who like, you know, hey, you know, some people just like murder. Okay. And like, that's part of human psychology. We got to have people that love to fight and are willing to kill, but people that are love to fight and are willing to kill are a little different than people that like murder. Mm-hmm. So you kind of got those two groups. I would say, Ken is much more noble than someone like Crenshaw because he actually has principles and knows what he stands for. He doesn't stand for an industry. He stood for the people, and he did that when he quit. Because, like, here's the thing. It's not even from a values judgment or, like, a moral standpoint. If you don't resign, if you don't come out against this war in the years and months to follow, you're not going to have a career.
No, you're not going to have a career because we're going to remember we have receipts who's supporting this war and who's not. I am curious to see what this Mark Levin video looks like.
Oh, dude. Well, let's go ahead and roll clip number 0. Mark Levin, Joe Kent. Holy Toledo, guys. You're going to love this.
Mm-hmm.
When you put that letter out, you knew it would do maximum damage to the president, didn't you? The timing. For instance, if you were going to resign because you didn't agree with this war, why didn't you resign when the war started?
Because I was hoping that we would immediately de-escalate and try and get back to the negotiating table.
We would start a war and de-escalate in 3 days?
I was hoping that we were
going
to do limited strikes. And then limited strikes like we did in Midnight Hammer and then back off and go back to the negotiating table. Once I realized that that was not going to happen and we were spiraling deeper into this and we were starting to lose brave men and women in yet another Middle Eastern war driven by the Israeli agenda, that's what led me
to resign. Well, man, you got a real hate on.
Duty to make
you,
it public.
You got a real hate on, brother. No, you do. Hold on, Joe. When I had you on my show, I read your texts. I read them out loud. And you've like done a 180. Why is that? Because you had access to intelligence or something? Why have you changed completely?
I have not done a 180. I have no problem with us working with Israel. I have a problem with Israel driving our foreign policy in the Middle East as they have done to get us
into
this war.
Do you have no respect for Donald Trump's agency that he has the capacity to make these decisions himself?
I have the utmost respect for the president. You can read my letter.
You didn't answer my question. You don't sound like it.
I believe that he was influenced by the media echo chamber and by the Israeli.
Well, maybe he's influenced by your media echo chamber. Or maybe he's influenced by the Saudis and the Qatar. Who knows? He made a decision. Can't you accept the fact that he's a great president, that he took in all this information, he listened to all his advisors, and he made a decision? You may disagree with it, but why do you create a conspiratorial notion that...
Okay, so he, really quick. Yes. I know you got stuff here, absolutely gaslighting, but...
So he talked to all his advisors, and you have a problem with that?
Yeah, he has foreign advisors. Okay, he's got people that are dual citizens, he's got people from other countries, and those are the people feeding him the intelligence. That's the problem. And Kent makes it very clear. I've always supported the president. What'd you say? Sorry? What other country? Israel, as Lindsey Graham would say it. Israel. Here's the deal that you have to keep in mind. Okay, or go ahead and talk a little bit.
No, it's just that's just gaslighting 101. I mean, he's like, you need to pledge allegiance to our president. I mean, we need more people like Kent. I mean,
absolutely.
The fact that he resigned should show you something inherently. Like, he went in there with a specific job, with a specific task, and thought that, okay, I'm going to do something good with my life. I'm going to do something for the American people. The moment his conscience realized that he could not fulfill that duty based off of all the things that were happening behind the scenes, this guy's involved in several conversations that the average American would never be able to hear. And then for Mark Levin
to be up
there.
Very high-level human being.
Yeah, for Mark Levin to be up there as a yes man, telling you that you should pledge allegiance to our president, and do you really believe in the stuff that you're talking about? It's like, what are you talking about?
It's not even treating him like he's a yes man. Mark Levin acts like a prison psychiatrist, and he's talking to a guy that's Looney Tunes and won't take his meds. He's like, so you know that Trump talked to all his advisors, and you still won't trust Donald Trump's leadership. You think he's subservient to the Israelis? You need to take your lithium. It's not that he's subservient to the Israelis. It's that he's listening to them and doing what they say. Yeah. It's his decision to do these things. And of course, Kent can't publicly come out and say anything negative about Trump because he worked in his administration, and that's down the line of party politics, right? Even people that disagree with Trump, they'll still pay lip service to it or whatever. And I get it, is what it is. Like, we're podcast people, we're media people, we're talking into mics, we're not in the field running these agencies. But at the end of the day, it's not Mark Levin's position to talk to you like you're mentally ill if you can't support this war. And they treat you like there's something wrong with your brain if you don't like Heil Trump.
Mm-hmm. And what a time to be alive. I'm telling
sure.
you, the access to information to be able to hear this conversation, you know, for a while we've talked about, and a lot of people think about this, is like how much foreign interest or like actual influence these outside countries
from everywhere
have on our government. I mean, for Kent to confirm that and then quit on behalf of that tells you everything that you need to know back at home.
Sure. And just like, you imagine these people that still have these jobs, and you're just like, why are you doing this? Like, I thought Tulsi Gabbard wanted to be president.
Mm-hmm.
That's not happening. Spoiler alert. I'm sure I got someone in the audience going, I love Tulsi. I'm sure you do. But the things she's done have made her unelectable.
Yeah. They have made her unelectable. I still want to continue watching these videos.
Yeah, let's go ahead and throw to Mark Levin versus Joe Kent 1. We're going to keep breaking it down. Just keep in mind, Mark Levin's operating from a false paradigm. He's acting like you're insane, like Joe Kent is insane for not supporting the Dear Leader. We don't subscribe to that.
Mm-hmm.
President Trump said no nuclear weapons. And then through official engagements through the Israelis and then also the media echo chamber that wanted regime change in Iran said, no, we need to say that the Iranians can't.
What about the media echo chamber, your buddies who didn't want regime change in Iran?
Well,
there's a lot of echo chambers out there, wouldn't you say?
It appears that your media echo chamber was much more successful.
No, it wasn't. I never lobbied the president. Hey, pay attention to me. I never lobbied the president. You guys keep putting that crap out there. I met with the president once at his request, and I said to the president, ready for this, Joe? I said, they're saying out there that I'm lobbying you. You know what he did? He laughed. You know what he said? Mark, I know where you stand. I watch your show on Saturday and Sunday. Anything I say here, pay attention. Anything I say here, what I would say, I did what?
You can lobby him by using the power of your show, the power of your
platform. Come on, brother. That's you're sounding almost ridiculous now. Now let's go on.
Okay, I'm Mark Levin. I tell you what to do. You don't want regime change? Sounds like you're in an echo chamber.
No, you're in an echo chamber. Regime change wars are what Trump got elected not to do.
No, and I'm just trying to understand, how does a guy like Mark Levin get platformed?
I mean, you listen to the
voice. I know how to speak in this. You're going to listen to me, young man.
He does sound horrible objectively. Here's the thing. Rush Limbaugh called him the great one. Okay, Rush Limbaugh, titan of conservative radio and media, really the number one guy in the 20th century to do that. Kind of outdated now, but it is what it is.
What's his background? Do you know anything
These people are radio hosts, man. I think Levin's been a radio host, author, whatever. But it's just the pro-Israel grift has been so strong for such a long time. He's been able to sell books and sell his radio show to boomers and people of that persuasion for such a long time. Like, he's just doing what works.
No, and he's getting, he is Jewish, but you know, he's also getting paid from this. That's the biggest thing. This is something that's keeping his lights on, that's allowing him to pay for all of his bills. You know, he's like, okay, I'm going to double down. I'm going to drink this.
Mark Levin is an agent of the American and Israeli empire. Okay, Mark Levin is like one of like the court whisperers or whatever from like olden times. Okay, he's running around. He is meeting with Trump. He is meeting with these people. He's scurrying around. He's making these deals happen. And then he has Joe Kent on his show, and he talks to Joe Kent like he's a cabinet official, like he's in charge. You see, I'm the one asking the questions, Joe. And it's like, no, you're not. You're kind of making accusations, very thinly veiled accusations. So you don't support regime change, and you're talking about like utter authoritarianism.
Yeah, and it's very clear at this point which side he's on. This isn't about like America.
It's not
anymore.
About America at all.
It's not about America. This is exactly what we were trying to vote for when 2024 going into 2025. This is what the American people, they were like, let us focus on America.
Right.
And now we have these Mark Levins in positions of power to be able to have wide platforms and conversations. Why does a guy like him deserve to have a direct line of contact to the president? Makes no sense.
That's such a good point. And here's the thing. It's all not America first. It's the complete opposite of it. It's make Iran or make Israel great again. It's MIGA. At the end of the day, that's literally what it is. Trump came out and tweeted that and said that himself. So
they got the hats going.
They got the hat and everything. They got the Cuba hat. They got the MIGA hat. They got all of it for the people that are willing to eat the slop and buy it up. And we, as the American public, we didn't sign on for a cult of personality. We signed up for real leadership, leading by example, being a public servant. We're not getting that.
Well, we didn't also sign up for a circus. I'm just waiting for the presidency in America to get back to a point where people start taking us serious again. And outside of just being like the guy who comes in with the giant sledgehammer and just smashes everybody over the head, because that is not a long-term strategy that works. We're watching quietly as the rest of the world is positioning themselves to not be aligned with the United States. And it's terrifying.
And all they have to do to win, Tim, which makes this even more terrifying, like you say, the winning move is not to play. You just don't play with the U.S. The U.S. is like a kid. You go over to their house, they shoot you in the head.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, okay, we're going to go play at President Xi's house.
And just think about this, right? And not to derail from this point.
No, sure.
But we ask for Europe to join in this battle now and be like, hey, help us protect the strait. Do all these things. Commit your ships. And then we burn them with tariffs. We drag them around. We blow up the pipeline. We make everything wrong and terrible for them in terms of energy. And it's just like, how do you expect other countries to want to play ball and help you out when you just do nothing but treat them unfairly?
Sure. Well, it's lunatic behavior, and that's because America, much like a junkie, has been able to keep dosing itself over and over and over again just through cash infusions, from stealing from other nations, through doing these things, from building the empire, that now when bigger and bigger doses are required, eventually we're going to OD.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's what we're getting close to, sadly. And people like Kent realize that. And he's like, hey, if I'm going to be a part of this body and it's going to do this thing, it's really going to hurt itself, I don't want to be a part of it anymore.
I think he was smart to get out early, man. I mean, this only gets worse. And anybody who's part of the system by the time that this ball rolls down the end of the hill gets swallowed up by whatever decisions are being made. So for him, I think he's choosing to take his peace, take his conscience, because he knows he's got a lot of life left and that the rest of this administration is not deterministic of his outcome. Props to him, man, because I would expect every single person to be doing the same thing. I would do it myself because How can you go in good faith and do your job knowing that all of these things are happening?
Well, and these types of people, whether it's MTG or a Joe Kent or whoever, these are the type of people that are going to run in 2028. I don't care what they say. I don't care if they swear up and down they're not going to do it. Spoiler alert, they're going to run in 2028. And these are the candidates that actually potentially interest me. Okay, because it's someone that's already stood on business, like MTG stood on business, Joe Kent stood on business, Massey stood on business. All these other types, I don't care if you got the most amazing rhetoric in the world. I don't care if you go over to Europe and shake your finger at him and say, don't you take away free speech like J.D. Vance
Can
did.
Can we read this real quick? Is this the president?
That's Joe Kent's resignation letter. After much reflection, I have decided to resign from my position as director of the National Counterterrorism Center effective today. I cannot in good conscience support the ongoing war in Iran. Iran posed no imminent threat to our nation. Keep in mind, this is the second in command of the DIA saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Misfit Patriot Mark Levin, your favorite influencer, they'll squawk about the nukes all day. It's confirmed to be a lie in two CIA reports. Iran posed no imminent threat to our nation. It is clear that we started this war due to pressure from Israel and its powerful American lobby. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate it.
How did we allow such a small country to have so much control over us?
Well, we needed to control that region because of the petrodollar. And that's what it's all about. And that's what I've really realized and discovered after going through multiple deep dives with you. It's all related to that. We have to have our state, our mini empire in the Levant to control that region. Ultimately, why our government supports Greater Israel is because it's good for American empire, not the people, not the country, empire. If we want to continue to project power in the way we have to have that state.
Yep. And China's just sitting there salivating. They're like, oh, we love this. This is fantastic for us. Come over here.
We're
much more peaceful.
Exactly.
We do things the right way with economics and we do the right deals. Now, do they have the best interests of the world? That could be debated.
They have the best interests of China.
Mm-hmm.
So here's all these cultures, like we sit here in the West, right? These Eastern cultures, the Chinese, the Persians, the Iranians, these are 4,000, 5,000 year old places.
Yep.
Okay. And America is like turning 250 years old this year.
Yep.
We should probably stay out of these places. It's bad for the country. We should leave well enough alone, in my opinion.
Yeah, we should leave it alone. But you know, at the end of the day, the average person would not want to be under a Chinese regime at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
I mean, they are rolling out with all types of things.
Social credit,
surveillance.
And, but we're getting it too.
Yeah, I know.
We're getting it too. That fun? We love it, don't we?
I know, we love it. That's honestly the thing that scares me the most is like, how far do we allow these things to go? Because they're just normalizing us to this stuff over and over and over and over again.
Do you know what you're making me think about? And we're coming up on a break here. I'll just make this really quick point. We love doing the deep dives on our show and now here on American Journal. We've had a lot of really good discussions, debates, whatever you want to call them, about the evolving technology, about the AI, about the robotics. We definitely need to bring that to this show while we're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an excellent topic. Ties into everything we're covering today because the future is here. The future is now. There are decades where nothing happens, and there are weeks when decades happen. As Lenin said, we are entering into that sort of epic time now. So it's me, Rex Jones, Tim Tompkins, here covering things for you guys so you can see them develop in real time and also know where they came from.
Yes.
All right.
Information is everything. We need to know exactly where these things come from. And we still got a lot, folks. Stay tuned. We got a deep dive coming up in the second hour. We're going to be covering everything about the Pentagon, everything that you need to know about where that money's going. It's going to shock you. It shocked me. It's going to shock Rex. It's going to shock the rest of you guys.
But I thought we had infinite money. But Trump say.
That's what they say. That's what they say. They say, oh, it's just a free credit card. Let's just get to spending.
We swipe the credit cards up and down, the American people and our government. Go figure. Those are our values. We worship the stock market. The Dow?
S&P 500.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now, new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up, go to the UN's own website, they admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out. They were put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultra methylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue. And I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this. And this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexshow.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexshowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexshowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best. And it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Why would you hold the data for 75 years, all of the clinical data, for 75 years from these if you were trying to be transparent? Tell me. Why?
So this is a person who was vaccinated 4 times by Pfizer, 1 year since vaccination, tumors emerged, person was dead within a month. We got 3 biopsies out of them, 1 postmortem. All of them have SV40 in the origin of replication from the Pfizer vaccine.
SV40, or simian virus 40, reared its ugly head back in 1960 when scientists spotted it lurking in rhesus monkey kidney cell cultures that were being held to whip up polio vaccines. SV40, a tumor-making machine, has the large T antigen, a molecular wrecking ball that smashes into cellular control systems like P53 and retinoblastoma protein pathways, turning normal cells into rogue cancer factories. Fast forward to 2025, and messengers from a myriad of professions are shouting from the rooftops about SV40's presence in the COVID vaccines.
These vaccines are not vaccines. They are, in fact, a gene therapy-based. This genomic integration, as the scientific literature makes clear, can lead to cancer development, immune system disruption, and more. The sheer levels of contamination detected, up to 145 times permissible limit in some cases, are extraordinary and far beyond what should be allowed in any medicinal product. In my work as an oncologist in the UK, I started to see a disturbing trend as early as February 2022. Patients who had been cancer-free for many years was suddenly relapsing with aggressive explosive cancers shortly after receiving booster doses of the COVID-19 vaccine.
I'll tell you a good story.
Okay.
I have 3 friends. All 3 of them had stage 4 cancer. All 3 of them don't have cancer right now at all. And they had some serious stuff going on.
And what did they take?
Jesus. They took some... what you've heard they've taken.
Ivermectin.
Fenbendazole.
These 3 advanced cancer patients experienced remission in 2 cases, complete remission, and in 1 case, near remission, for an extended period of time, years after initiating this fenbendazole protocol. And none of them received chemo either, right? So this was with, it wasn't combination. A few were with a surgery. Some did receive a brief dose of radiation. But in general, this fenbendazole was linked to extraordinarily, accelerated tumor reductions in a pretty short period of time with extended survival outcomes with no evidence of disease.
Yeah, I was off their charts, 1,498.
Yeah, the chart didn't even go that high.
That is something else.
That was December 31st. I took my first course of ivermectin on my birthday, February 2nd. February 11th, my CEA was down to 180.
Raise that up a little bit. Wow.
Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62 that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public. That's mass murder.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell. And sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important. I'm holding in my hands two compounds that are guaranteed to change your life. T3, pure atomic iodine. Nobody else has it. It's next level. And ultramethylene blue, medical grade methylene blue. These two products together supercharge the mitochondria in the cells, clean out the body, and are game changers. Iodine is essential, meaning you die without it. The UN admits that most people that have cognitive disabilities is because of lack of iodine. You add ultramethylene blue to this, it supercharges everything. Ladies and gentlemen, T3 is now available. DallasStore.com, the very best iodine that we know of that exists. There may be better. We'll adopt that if we can. But this is the best for sale we found, and we have the best medical grade ultramethylene blue. Get yours now, right now. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off. It funds the InfoWar, but more importantly, it is a game changer. If you don't take my advice and try this, you're insane. All you got to do is try it. You'll be blown away. Take action now. DallasStore.com to get T3, now available, and methylene blue at DallasStore.com.
You thought the leaden winter would bring you down forever, but you rode upon a steamer to the violence of the sun.
You're listening to The American Journal with Tim Tompkins and Rex Jones. Watch it live right now at band.video.
And the colors of the sea.
Well, thank you for coming back. I hope you're enjoying your morning coffee, your morning drive, whatever you're doing. Get ready, because we got the deep dive on the new Pentagon spending.
Yeah, the deep dive is something that we like to do. We do it on our own show, The Gray Area Talks. Basically how the deep dive works, there might be people who are listening for the first time to Rex and I, but
sure,
we like to give people more context behind the headlines. We like to go into specific topics, talk about the history, talk about the context.
Causality
is
consequences. Everything heavy. The deep dive is heavy, and it's heavy for a reason. It's stuff you should have already known, but they've hidden it from you. And yeah, we're gonna peel back the curtain. We're flipping that white light switch.
And some of it is in plain sight, and it's just a lot of people just don't think to like, hey, I should probably look into that, because it is a lot of information. So I spend hours doing these deep dives, giving you guys the best refinement of information. Today, what we're going to be talking about is a number of a tune of a $200 billion. Have you heard that one, Rex?
Well, that's not a big deal, you see, because we can just print money, right? So another $200 billion, $900 billion, all the numbers you're going to get into. I call you, you're a panicking scum. And I am true MAGA. So go ahead.
He is true MAGA.
I am true MAGA.
This is what the Pentagon is asking in order to fund the war with Iran. And the problem is simple. We failed 8 straight audits, but somehow we're still able to ask for an additional $200 billion. And I just wanted to understand how do these things relate? What it even means to have an audit? How does it mean, like, if you fail it, why can they fail it and still continue to operate? Because, Rex, if we get a car loan, or try to get a car loan, and we can't have a good credit score, or we can't afford to have the funds to actually buy the car, why would they allow you to get a loan for something like that? But the right. American, it doesn't work for the DOD.
And the flip side of that is that they can issue themselves whatever they want, however much they want, because they have that infinite credit score, because their credit score is the American people. And yes, they use the American people as their piggy bank, as we're going to get into. What is the mechanism for holding these people accountable? Is there one? Are we going to get into that?
I'm going to get into all of that. But what I want to start with is this article, The Pentagon Seeks $200 billion. Let's just quickly read so that people understand a recap of that. You can start from there. And
absolutely. The Pentagon is seeking $200 billion in additional funds for the Iran war, a sizable amount that is certain to be met with questions from Congress. You bet it'll be questions from us! More money! Come on. Okay, we'll keep reading it. Which would need to approve any new money. Of course, Congress controls the purse strings. The department sent the request to the White House, according to a senior administration official who spoke on condition of anonymity to discuss the private information. Asked about the figure at a press conference Thursday, Defense Secretary, Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, did not directly confirm the amount, saying it could change. It takes money to kill bad guys. And like, that's what they tell you. It's like, oh, we got to take your wallet out of your pocket. We got to kill bad guys.
Such a blanket statement. It just takes money to kill bad guys. Well, have you really thought about it? Have you calculated? Have you actually determined on like an actual model how much it actually takes to kill one bad guy?
Well, it used to be that the propaganda had to be complicated and they had to get a guy like Colin Powell, a decorated veteran, a guy with credibility, and they lit him on fire to start the Iraq war. Now they literally just come out and say, yeah, it takes money to kill bad guys. $200 billion, please.
Yeah, this is these kind of things are frustrating. And so the thing that you got to understand when going in this is that, you know, this request is moving even before Congress has voted on it. And again, the Pentagon has failed 8 straight audits.
We don't care about that.
Every single year for the past 8 years. So here's the basic question. Like, why does the department that can't fully keep account of its books is able to actually keep on going and asking for more money? Now, I want to talk about what most people think about when they, or what people get wrong when they think about a failed audit. So when most people hear about a failed audit, they think about the Pentagon has lost money. That's a little too simple. So a failed audit actually means that auditors have asked the Pentagon to prove its numbers and the Pentagon could not fully do it. Okay. So
we don't know where it went. Come on, man.
I don't know where it went.
It's a mystery.
So here's a quick breakdown of how it works. So auditors go in, they want proof. They want records, receipt, asset list. They want the systems that match. And they look at the systems to make sure that match. So they're asking these questions. They're like, okay, did you spend this money? Do you own this equipment?
Right.
Can you prove that this number is real on paper? And then also, a failed audit doesn't mean that every dollar was stolen, but it does mean that the Pentagon could not give reliable evidence to actually back up the books. And that's still a huge problem, is it not?
That's a massive problem. I think there's a figure to that, too. It's like amounts of money you wouldn't believe. And I guess that's where the speculation comes from, like, where are the aliens at? You know, cause like, did you spend like $1 trillion, like an underground base somewhere nobody knows? And like, how big really is our government, the world government, the intelligence community, all of it? I mean, it's like Elon, he goes in there with Doge and he's like, oh, we're going to cut $2 trillion. And I think what he found out is, you don't mess with the military spending.
Yeah, you don't mess with the military.
And he said he was going to do that too.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing about this is even if the books can't be, because the books can't be trusted and Congress is being asked to pour money into a system that they can't still prove, that's a problem.
Sure.
So let's talk about how they keep on failing, because that is also another thing that I had a question and you guys are probably also thinking that in your minds here. So if a failed audit, does not mean that the money was stolen, because that's what some things that people, they think that it was just something that was stolen. But the next question is obvious. Like, how does the Pentagon keep failing the same test over and over again? Because this is not just one bad year. It's an old, broken system. And I'm going to explain this for you guys. So the Pentagon is trying to track money, weapons, equipment, property, and contracts across an entirely huge system. And a lot of those systems are actually old and archaic.
Sure.
So a lot of them are built on legacy systems that were built decades ago. The biggest problem is they don't actually talk to each other or communicate between the databases. One database could say one thing while the other database says something else. So when an auditor goes in, they keep hitting more wall after wall after wall when they're trying to find the paper trail of, okay.
And that's by design. It has to be. It has to be by design. It's like, oops, we failed. No, the government is designed to be broken. The scary thing right now about our government is that things are actually working too quick and too well.
Mm.
You see, the system is supposed to fight itself. The legislative branch is supposed to fight the executive. Executive fights the judicial. You know, a law gets passed, president vetoes it, they force it through, but oh, the Supreme Court says unconstitutional, strikes it down. That's not happening anymore. It's just blanket approval, blanket approval, blanket approval, because agencies like the Pentagon and other agencies, they're used to getting the blank check.
Well, you would think it's by design, but that's only half of the story. There's actually just pure incompetence and just not the willingness to actually update.
Sure, I think it's like a yin and yang where they meet together.
Yes, and the thing about it is there's bad tracking, weak controls, missing support, and so the records are not lining up, and that's what keeps happening. So the system underneath is spending is too old, too messy to verify cleanly.
Sure,
so that's the equation that we're looking at. So let's talk about actually how the federal budget works, because that is something that this is all tied to when it comes to the DOD, when it comes to the Pentagon, when it comes to how the money is being spent. And there's a specific percentage that's allocated. Let's go ahead and pull up my screen share here. And I've got a visual chart here to show you guys.
We love doing stuff like this. We do it on Gray Area Talks. We love presentations.
Yes, we love presentations. This is interactive. This is something that we have made at the Gray Area. Very cool. So right now you need to understand two specific things here. You've got two main buckets. You've got mandatory spending and then you've got discretionary spending. Okay. So what matters here is mandatory spending is the money that mostly runs automatically. This includes, you got Social Security, you've got Medicaid, Medicare, and interest on the debt. Discretionary spending, which is what you're looking at this pie chart here.
You should be offended by this pie chart, by the way. This is ridiculous.
I'm going to get into the specifics of it, too. The discretionary spending is actually the part that Congress votes on each year. So this is where the Pentagon budget sits. So when the people talk about defense spending budget, they're usually talking about the money that's inside this discretionary budget. So the U.S. federal budget for 2025 was $7.3 trillion.
Oh.
Yeah, just a drop in the bucket.
The tax revenue is less than $5 trillion as well. It's so crazy.
And of that, the Defense Department budget is about $900 billion. And so let me just quickly look at this chart again and pull it up for you guys. We've got 47%, almost half of that spending is from defense spending. Okay, you got VA benefits here, which is like healthcare, disability compensation. We've got health and human sex, which is kind of like public health initiatives, homeland security. You've got education. Education is 4%. Are you kidding me?
We got our priorities straight.
Defense is 47% and our education is 4%.
Now, we don't want kids to read. We want kids to shoot. That's what we want.
Well said. You've got the urban development. So these are all the things like housing assistance and community revitalization programs. 4%. This is the stuff when we say America first. These budgets should be changing accordingly. We should be moving the pot.
It should be the inverse. But for it to be the inverse, you'd have to get rid of the over 700 or whatever it is military bases we have around the world. You'd have to get rid of this unlimited military support to nations like Ukraine and Israel and these true forever wars that we can't seem to get out of. The reason why that we have that bloated defense budget, really war budget, I do like the change to Department of War because it's more honest. That's our war budget. Okay.
It is
so
our war budget.
We spend 40% of all our money on war. What do you think the result is going to be? If you're spending all your money on a car, you're probably going to get a car. If you're spending all your money on an elephant, you're probably going to get an elephant. If you're spending all your money on a war, you're going to get a war. So the American public, it's not even that we have buyer's remorse. We were taken to a store and we were being told we're going to buy a jacket and like we bought like a hammer. It's not what we came here for. It's not what we requested. Right.
Well said. Well said. And I 100% agree with you. And then you just like think about like the bigger question here is like, how is this still allowed to happen? You fail all of these audits. You have over half of discretionary spending in this one specific bucket and you failed these 8 straight audits. So I'm going to explain that for you guys here because this is the real key. So just because the failed audit happens does not automatically shut the DOD down or cut off its funding.
Right, right.
And that is because the Pentagon has done something phenomenal where it's made itself too central to national defense for Washington to just stop this machine.
Talk about too big to fail.
Too big to fail. So the Pentagon can fail an audit. They can still keep operating. Congress keeps funding it anyways. And the reason is simple, because the military is too important to pause or fix. Even when the books are a mess, they've already spent billions of dollars actually trying to fix this problem. So from 2018 to 2022, guess how much we spent just trying to fix this issue on just on the books. Take a guess.
Oh, man. 90 billion.
Nah, you're too high. It's in billions.
It always go big or go home with the government.
Go big or go home. I mean, $4.1 billion seems to be enough, right?
On accountants. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about that, that is pretty crazy.
So they spent that on audit remediation and support, and so that money was supposed to fix the system and give it a better accounting system.
I wonder where it
actually
went.
Better tracking, better audit support, but it actually was reported after they tried to do all of that that the progress was minimal. That's the worst part about this.
Well, to me, what that sounds like is they're like, okay, we're going to pay you guys to investigate. All right. You do your investigation. It becomes inconclusive. Yeah, we're going to pay you $200,000 a year to do it. Like, here's the thing. It's organized chaos, but it's also not organized, like you said. Like, it truly is so hard to decipher where ignorance and incompetence is the easiest explanation, or like malevolence or social climbing, or, you know, like economic warfare. It's hard to decipher what they're doing, because a lot of it really is just true waste.
Yes.
But there's also, you know, an edge to it. Right. Mm-hmm. So where does that start? Where does that end?
Well, where it starts is the records are still not going to be lining up.
Oh.
The systems are still not matching. And the assets cannot always be verified the same way that we had the issues before.
Liberal.
Mm-hmm. And then pretty much the auditors are not getting enough. So now we need to actually talk about where the money goes, because when you think of the DOD or the Pentagon, where do you think the money just goes specifically? Give me your best guess.
Goes to defense spending. We got to order tanks. We got to order missiles. We got to have munitions. That's what I think of. It's like high tech, like planes, vehicles, weapons, stuff like
that. Yeah, and you're accurate. That is where part of it goes to specifically. Most people usually
think of
troops.
They have an intelligence fund?
Yeah, there's all types of things. So people usually think about troops, tanks, jets. That's only part. Let's queue up this video here. Going to talk about where you know, you're going to show us the weapons here.
And they have their own intelligence. The State Department does as well. Just want to make that point really quick.
Let's go with 10 here.
Nice.
This is going to show something crazy here, folks.
Let me show you how much the United States spends on its military. Over here, you've got Russia, China, India, and other big military powers. And yet, if you combine them all into one, the U.S. still spends more. More than the next 10 countries combined. But I'm interested in what happens inside of this circle. Like, what are we spending our money on?
Yeah, this is supposed to be,
In here, we'll see everything that the military spends their money on, from salaries for soldiers to elementary schools for their children. We'll see the $21 million helicopters and these missiles that cost $1.6 million each. And we'll see how much the Pentagon spends on the development of new weapons, new technology, like these ship-based laser weapons. And of course, the most expensive of all, the F-35 fighter jet that will end up costing the taxpayers $2 trillion. We even made a little model of this guy. And like the real thing, the model is continually breaking down. No. Okay. Here we go.
Yeah, the door thing is really hard to put in.
Yeah. Of all the money our Congress budgets to run our government on any given year, almost half of it goes to the military. Here you've got education, and there's diplomacy and health science, energy, environment. We've been deep.
You look at that. That's exactly what I was talking about here, but that's
kind of the point I was making. The missile, the gun, the plane, but you say there's more.
So, I mean, a huge amount of the money actually goes towards other items. It flows through contracts,
That means weapons buying. There's also maintenance things that go in. You've got logistics. You've got equipment. You've got
services. Imagine the maintenance.
Yes.
Yes. You can talk about that a little bit. You're an engineer. You've worked on some stuff like this.
I've worked in these systems before. Used to work on Black Hawk and Apache helicopter engines, working with the DOD, all of the different things that go in, F-16s, all of those pieces of equipment. It's very interesting having a first glance at all of these systems and how they operate. There is a lot of waste. I am sorry to tell the average American, there is a ton of waste when it comes to these. Do you know how much one single Special Forces Black Hawk costs in order to
Lay it on me.
Just the engine alone, $2 million. And by the way, on the hourly rate of the shop for fixing one of these engines is about $500 an hour. So do I really want to cover this? Because I think I should cover this.
Yeah, dude, this is your expertise. Go into it, bro. Go into it.
You guys are going to need to be ready for this. So when an engine comes into the shop, it's supposed to have a certain amount of time that it sits within the shop and goes through all of its repairs from start to finish. And the government has a contract in which they say, well, you need to give us this engine back in 180 days. Well, what ends up happening in a lot of these facilities is you've got a lot of waste and you're relying on the company to actually do its job correct and the people who are actually doing the job. So let's give in a scenario of things that I have seen where there's a lot of waste in between. There are engines that have sat for several years.
Oh, yeah.
And have not been worked on. And that work order is accumulating money each time. And the government is spending that money and paying dollar after dollar after dollar. And sometimes a work order gets missed. Sometimes people forget, somebody's sleeping on the job, or they just take longer on the job because they want to get paid overtime. So there's just a lot of things that are wrong with the system in its whole. And these are the things that people don't get to see. I'm watching these things behind the scene.
Right. Well, that makes me think about it at scale, right? Because you're able to talk about it because you've seen it at the ground level. What we see with that bloated defense budget is that's everywhere. That's everywhere. That's why the number is so big.
That is why the number is so big. Do we have video 11 with the contractor? Because the contractors is what I'm talking about.
Right.
The company that I was working for was at one of those contractors where they outsource the work, and the contractors have intellectual property so that they're the only ones that can work on that specific piece of equipment. The government just outsources that. So you're looking at it and you see that we're charging premiums for some of these things just because the government is willing to pay for it. So let's go ahead and roll video 11. Oh, man.
Corporation.
This is going to really show you guys where the money's going.
About 54%. And once again, the U.S. government tells us exactly which corporations they give all this money to. We pulled the last 19 years worth of data on these private contractors. At the top of this list, you start to see the same names over and over. Raytheon, General Dynamics, Boeing, Northrop Grumman, Lockheed Martin. These are the names at the top of these lists year after year. There used to be a lot of different defense contractors, but over the last three decades, they got gobbled up by these big five. Transitioning, from the words of the Pentagon, from 51 to five aerospace and defense prime contractors. As a result, the DoD is increasingly reliant on a small number of contractors for critical defense capabilities, i.e. we've got kind of a monopoly issue on our hands. These five contractors own the space, and the Pentagon can't really go elsewhere if they need an F-35. There's only one shop in town that makes it. For this reason, the prices can get pretty out of control. Like, the Pentagon used to pay $25,000 for this Stinger missile, and now they pay nearly $500,000 for the same missile. Wow. The price went up more than 16 times in just a couple decades. A little more than inflation.
There's a history of defense contractors overcharging the U.S. government. They can overcharge. If they're the only company producing a certain widget, then there's no competition. And that's one of the problems with monopoly, is if there's not competition, it's easy to overcharge the buyer. In addition, the Inspector General of the Department of Defense has found routinely that there's overcharging through corruption and waste and fraud. And there have been lawsuits, for example, KBR is a contractor that's been used overseas, and they were found to overcharge in dining halls by 30 to 40%.
The same missile
Yep.
from a decade ago can cost 16 times more. That is the problem here, guys. Another scenario that you're going to see and that has happened before, there's a thing called a bearing, which is like this small ball, essentially. There is a company that was charging $3,500 for this one ball bearing. And that specific ball bearing, they could have just gone into like some back garage that the DOD has and got that same thing for $15.
Yep.
For $15.
It's the same thing as you got like the Bugatti. It's got the same light switch and window switch from like a Mercedes, right? And you could buy it for $100, but they're going to make you pay $6,000 plus service fee.
Yeah. Guys, we're just getting started. We're about to close out here, but we're not actually done. We're going to be coming back at after the break.
More
give you guys
dive.
More deep dive, because these are things that you guys need to know. This stuff is not a joke. These are things that every American should have the information, and they're not going to put this on the headlines. They're not going to show you the specifics and peel behind the curtain because they're afraid what you will do with that knowledge. Everything is about knowledge, and we need to continue to arm ourselves as American people. We appreciate you guys being here. We'll be back after the break.
Thank you so much. We'll be right back at the American Journal, Rex Jones, Tim Tompkins.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it. I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62, that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 million people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this. That's where it put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world, has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultra methylene blue that is also on record, good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think of methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on this since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theallthefuelstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theallthefuelstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, theallthefuelstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells, the methylene blue. And iodine works very similarly. And they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com. And I thank you for your support.
Left. We got Stein coming up. We got more deep dive. Want you to have that mojo. It's Tuesday. We're getting through the week, Tim.
We are getting through the week. I'm feeling good. How about you?
I'm feeling great. I want to learn more information. But first, I got to tell you guys, you buy something, you get a free t-shirt right now on the alexjonesstore.com. Free limited edition InfoWars t-shirt when you start any monthly subscription. There's all sorts of discounts. There's all sorts of offers. On the iodine right now, it's half off if you're a VIP and 30% off for everybody site-wide. I'm just telling you right now, if we don't plug, we don't stay on air. Go check out these products. They're phenomenal for your body. They're phenomenal for your energy. They're phenomenal for your mind. They're phenomenal for you in the information war to be the fittest, most prepared human being that you can be. I encourage you to go check out T3 Trifecta Iodine, the Methylene Blue, the Power Plant, the Methyl Drive, all the phenomenal products on the Alex Jones store. Get something, subscribe to it, get the free t-shirt, get the discount offers, get the VIP program, alexjonesstore.com.
Yeah, so I might actually get some of that.
Yeah, we got to get you subscribed now.
I got to get me subscribed.
You got to get a chance to win the cars. And that's another thing. Really quick, you can enter to win Ford Mustang Shelby GT500, 2025 Ford Raptor, plus $20,000 in cash. You're not going to get a better deal anywhere else.
I would love to drive that Ford Shelby.
Absolutely. We meet the people that drive these cars all the time. They come do the show. They come hang out. It's really a phenomenal experience for everybody. But getting back to the deep dive, to the information, what do we have going on?
Yeah, so we were just covering about the contractors and how there's the big five. The big five are all the ones that they listed, like General Dynamics and Lockheed Martin,
Northrop,
Raytheon. And then they've taken all of them and combined, they bought up all the competition.
Right.
And they monopolized it. And doesn't this remind you of the big four when it comes to the meatpacking industry? They did the exact same thing. And that is why your meat prices are higher, because when you get these monopolies, they set the prices. And this isn't just happening across one industry. It's happening across several industries. So now we need to talk about something else when it comes to the Pentagon. And there's this thing called the revolving door, and I don't think a lot of people know what this is. Let's go ahead and cue this picture up. Pick two.
That doesn't sound good, revolving door.
It's a revolving door between the Pentagon and the contractors. It drove me crazy, and when I saw this, I'm like, I cannot believe we're allowing this. So once you see where the money goes, the next thing is you got to look at the people.
Sure.
Okay, can we get that picture pulled up here of a revolving door? And then we're going to talk about, because the system doesn't just revolve around money, it revolves around all the other people that actually allow this thing to perpetuate. And when we talk about it, who do you think is in control of the Pentagon when it comes to all of these decisions?
The bureaucrats, the middle management, the people that actually have control of the purse strings and various different elements of the organization.
Yeah. I mean, you've got different people that are in there. You've got high up execs. You've got different people. The way I can best describe this is you've got a revolving door pipeline between the Pentagon and the defense contractors. Now, if you look at this graphic, there is a nice cyclical motion that's going on here. Okay. So the buyer and the seller do not stay separate. So a top military leader can retire and join a defense company.
I'll be CEO.
Yes, they can retire and become a defense company. They can become like the CEO. Yes. And then
that's not cool.
But then the worst part is they can come back into the government after serving there. It's awful. So, or they can leave the government and cash out right after. There's an opportunity there. So Jim Mattis is a clean example. He served in the military and joined the board of General Dynamics and then became the Secretary of Defense and then went back to General Dynamics.
Well, that's probably the best way to keep your job, right, is to go join the private sector so they know they can trust you, so they know that you're fully bought in and on the team and more conflict. And a lot of these people, they're true believers. They believe we have to be empire. We have to do these military operations, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, for most of these people, it's profit motivated.
It is profit motivated, and it's not rare. That's the worst part about this. So one analyst actually found that in 2022, defense contractors hired 672 people directly out of the Pentagon to work as lobbyists, executives, and board members for these corporations.
It's a circle. It's a circle. That's what it is. It's a circle. Start off here, go there. Go right back. And ultimately, that's fraud.
And what the most important part about this is why they're picking these people is because they have insider knowledge. They know contracts. They know future jobs that offer all throughout the same door. And then you also look, the people that are making decisions today can also end up working for those companies and getting paid tomorrow. So it's like, you know, one big club. You know exactly where you're going to go, and these same people are lobbying for being able to actually have more contracts because they know it's going to increase their bottom line. And then the worst part about it is on these contracts, even when you're overcharging for a specific piece of equipment, these CEOs and board members are getting fat paychecks.
Sure.
Fat paychecks and bonuses. That's the trail here. That's the thing to be paying attention. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, you look at the example of that little like RPG style missile that goes up like 40x in price or whatever. That's the same with the CEO's paycheck, right? We've done plenty of deep dive. We look back in the day and these people are still making plenty of money, but it wasn't the same system that we have now. Fraud is the system. The grift is the system. It's about how much money you can make at all levels. They don't even care about delivering a good product. I mean, it's not military contracting, although it's adjacent. I think they do actually work with the military. It is military contracting. Mm-mm. Look at Boeing. All right. Look at Boeing as an example. Look at how they've fallen apart since switching to the model of having lawyers that want more money run everything instead of the engineer.
Just take a look at this graphic. Does it make any logical sense for that to cost that much more?
Even with inflation, absolutely not.
Absolutely
not. Absolutely not. I mean, that's just completely outrageous. That's dollars to pesos.
You know what? It gets worse than this, Rex. At the end of the day, you got to look at something else here. We have something called the Pentagon City. If we can get Pentagon City. Remember, I told you it's like one big club. It's almost like a campus,
right?
You know, where you've got the Pentagon that is on one side. And then you've got the actual Pentagon City, which is a cluster of defense contractors. Okay. So look at that. That little road that separates the two, this is all in DC, by the way. So you can see, you know, you're retiring from the Pentagon and you just got to go across the street to
work your job. The city of death.
Mm-hmm.
The city of death and destruction, that's what that is. That truly is incredible. So the lobbyists, they just live a few miles away. They're like, you know, I'm going to go lean on my guy today. I'm going to go get him buy more weapons.
I'm going to go talk to Jimmy today, and let's see if we can buy $2 billion worth of Tomahawk missiles. I think that's a good deal for today.
Yeah.
And then you look at why this matters is because they're packed within the same space. And the military company, the militaries, the companies, the people are tied. They all sit on right on top of each other. And the people making decisions trying to get people to are trying to win more money. That's the biggest problem here. And they are the same network. They often move through the same career path. This is what makes the revolving door even more, because you're seeing the proximity and how close all of these companies are working together. Now, you just look at a Google map. You're just like, oh, these are just buildings. But to this ecosystem, they know exactly what's happening here.
Sure.
And this is the stuff that Americans are not being shown.
And this is a common thread when we talk about all these big agencies, or not even big agencies, big companies. That's what they are, big companies. Talk about the pharmaceutical industry, defense industrial complex, the meatpacking, all of it. It's all monopoly. It's all stuff we have laws against. We have antitrust laws. One of our greatest presidents ever, Teddy Roosevelt, what was he famous for? The Sherman Antitrust Act. And yep, we still have that on the books. We put up with this because our politicians are paid off.
Yes. Oh, you are segueing perfectly, because let's look actually how the politicians are.
No, they would never. They're taking any money. They're heroes. They're my hero. I vote for my hero.
This is the last piece of the equation, guys. So once the money is flowing and once the same people keep moving through the same system, the next question is, how does this keep going bigger? So if you take a look at this graphic that we have here with this flow chart, I'm going to break this down for you guys.
So contractors don't just build weapons. They basically spread jobs across states and political districts on purpose. This means that the Pentagon spending turns into local jobs. And then in return, those local jobs turn into political protection. So Roger Wicker is a perfect clean example of this. He sits on the Senate Armed Services Committee, which helps steer taxpayer money to the Pentagon. And then the Pentagon money helps feed those defense contractors. So in Mississippi, one of the big examples of this is Huntington Ingalls, which is a large naval shipyard in his state. It basically, more defense spending means more jobs and more economic activity back home in the state of Mississippi and all of these other states. So you got to look at it this way. That makes it easier for a lawmaker to defend and protect that spending because the contractors actually are helping, making it easier to protect what the lawmakers are doing. So, you just think about like, okay, well, if you take my money away, what ends up happening? Oh, you're causing Americans to lose their jobs.
Ooh, yeah. And they say, well, you don't want us to stop making the missiles now, do you? Because if we stop doing that, they ain't going to vote for you no more. We got all this manufacturing, city. It's just like, that's how they get you.
And then you obviously know about the tie between political candidates as well as a lot of the PAC spending or spending.
Sure, talk about that.
These contractors are actually helping the lawmakers because they're giving campaign money, they're influencing the local economic dependency, all of those things tie together, and then the cycle repeats. So the more Pentagon money means more contractor money, which means more local jobs, which means more political support, which means more pressure to keep that money flowing. And that is the secret loop that we have not been seeing on the wider scale. All of it is connected, and so no lawmaker wants to be blamed for shutting down the plant or killing jobs within their district. So it just stops being about a defense spending debate, and it actually turns into a job debate in order to keep the system running. They've created a leverage point for the average person. It is just sick how they have done this.
Right. I mean, the American economy, we don't produce things anymore, but one thing we do still produce, at least in a limited context, is weaponry, right? So they say, oh, you want to destroy America's one last great manufacturing business. You want to destroy this great industry that employs so many people. And it creates a catch-22 for the person. Like, even if they are maybe tacitly anti-war, they know they're going to lose. They know that they're going to donate to their political opponents. So they might as well just sign on to the program. And that itself is the nature of the problem. And that's why we've sleepwalked ourselves into potentially World War III. That's why we've sleepwalked ourselves potentially into the next Great Depression, is because people didn't do their due diligence and they were just willing to let well enough alone and to just let the big monster sit in the corner.
But do we see the bigger picture here? Guys, are we understanding how intertwined all of these systems have been around for decades?
Right.
For absolute decades, since the origin of the DOD, and all of the things have just slowly piled on top of each other, one after another after another, and each person just carries the same initiative. They're like, I'm gonna get my bag, and then I'm gonna move it on to the next person.
Well, let me go ahead and go back to that AP article, the Pentagon Seeks $200 billion in Extra Funds article. I wanna read this quote from Trump. The new funding request was first reported by the Washington Post. Trump said the administration is asking for money for other reasons beyond Iran. See, it's not just Iran. It's the next war to come. It's the war of the future. This is a very volatile world, the president said from the Oval Office. He said the emergency spending would be a very small price to pay, that's in quotations, to ensure the nation's military stays in absolute top shape. And I mean, that's the thing. It's like, we're preparing for wars of the future, preparing to fight against Russia, preparing to fight against China. None of this is going to stop or slow down if the people don't rise up politically, peacefully, nonviolently against it and realize no one's coming to save us. These people that we elected to save us, they're already prepping for the next 10 wars.
10 wars, man. And the worst part about this, and I've said this yesterday, you gotta think about it. How do we not go out and actually protest about these specific things that actually impact the average American at home? How is General Dynamics and Lockheed Martin allowed to 15x the price of something so complex in which they can't even justify the price increase?
It doesn't make any sense. And they want you to go out in the street and protest about illegal immigration and protest about Pablo over here or something about Israel and over there. And it's like, these are the things at home that we need to be talking about more. And that is why information is everything. That is why we do this deep dive. That is why Rex and I wanted to bring this information to the average American person, because it is important.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. That's the thing. If we don't address causation, if we focus on symptoms and we don't focus on disease, the entire situation is going to continue to get worse. This is why we do the deep dive, is because all these things we're talking about, we're also going to provide solutions to as well. It's an evolving thing. We have our own political platform. We're excited to share that with you guys. It really is kind of a radical centrism. Not saying, like, I'm a milquetoast fence sitter, neither is Tim, but we take good ideas from the right, from the left. We don't subscribe to the duopoly. You're not a donkey. You're not an elephant. And okay, you're a human being, and something's been done to you to make you think that you're on a sports team. The only team you're on is on Team America and Team Humanity.
Yep. Those are the only two teams that we're part of. And you think about it, we're so focused on all these other countries outside of the country and all the different things that are happening overseas. And we got to put our nose and stick our nose here, and we got to create conflict there.
We are the sheriff.
Yeah. We're thinking about those things, but we can't even clean up our own backyard. Rex, you've seen everything that's been going on with TSA, right?
Sure.
That is one of the things that's affecting the average. It's probably affecting your own, your dad, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know if we can talk about that, but yeah.
But it's just like all of those different things. We're just talking about how the lines are getting longer. Can we get this video 12?
People
up?
Are trapped. People can't leave. People can't go to work.
They can't go to work, and we're sitting there. And we're sitting here talking about all these other countries, and we have a mess in our own backyard. Let's go ahead and play this clip.
Well, traveling is turning out to be brutal for people arriving at Bush Intercontinental Airport. The average wait time has been as high as 4.5 hours today. And we are keeping track of those wait times on the bottom right-hand corner of your screen.
That's right. And today, Bush has some of the highest call-outs for unpaid TSA agents in the country. Fox 26's Sherman DeSalle has been there all day at Terminal E. And Sherman, people really have been struggling all day.
They really have. And a lot of them have rebooked their flights for later tonight or even tomorrow, staying the night here at Bush. So people will see this shot here and think Terminal E is not all that bad, right? Swing to the left, you'll see that. But go down to the bottom, because this is level three of all three of all the levels that you're going to be dealing with. That's level two. Take a look at that video. The video you're seeing is the actual start of the line at Terminal E. It's in the bottom of the building. It's been hot down there as well. People have been waiting for hours. No pre-check, no clear options. That makes it even longer. The TSA agents who would normally keep this from happening, they haven't been paid since February 14th.
We were in the lineup for a while, but we didn't make it. So they rebooked the flight for today. So,
You were in line yesterday,
yeah.
And you didn't make it.
Yeah, no. We tried to arrive here as early as possible. So,
how long were you in line for yesterday?
It was 2 hours, I think, and then we ended up it looked like we were gonna miss our flight, but we were in the lineup hoping maybe some miracle would happen.
What do you think about this wait?
Well, it's terrible. I mean, it's affecting the airlines, it's affecting us. We're on a fixed schedule, we've got some meetings to get to. Folks in D.C., all of them need to get fired and stop their pay.
But where are you headed to, if you're my man?
Cleveland.
And what time did you get here? And how long do you anticipate the wait to be?
Looks like it's a little close to 4 hours.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Is that going to put you in danger of missing your flight?
I'm trying to think. Try not to think about that right now.
Now, we've seen less than a handful of ICE agents, at least in this terminal. There have been more of them visible in Terminal A, like my colleague Jay Flory pointed out today. And as for TSA agents, there has been many visible, at least on this side. The union president addressed Washington in a statement saying, quote, Congress has the power to fund TSA today. It's time for them to stop playing politics and do their jobs. Now, keep in mind, in the next 30 minutes in Terminal A, Christian Menefee will actually be hosting a press conference, giving his comments on what we're seeing today. Reporting from Bush, Sherman DeSalle, Fox 26 News.
We have the audacity. They have the audacity to ask for $200 billion.
You can't fly.
And you can't even fly to go see your family.
It doesn't add up. It doesn't add up, Rex. How do you have the ability to just be able to do these things and not even address anything that the American people actually need in their lives?
Because it's all fake, man. $17 billion. They called Trump evil for asking for that amount of money to build the wall, and they have literally, they've pissed trillions away since then. It's just, it's so insane. It's so outrageous. You got that one guy on the line who's saying like, yeah, we got meetings. I got to go to work. We got things to get to. All the people in DC need to be fired. They need to not get paid. They need to lose their jobs. Ultimately, we got people struggling to make ends meet, people struggling to see their family, to go to meetings, whatever they're trying to do. And the people in DC are trading on Polymarket about the war.
Hey, but don't worry. You know, Pam Bondi tells us
S&P 500 is at all time highs.
Right.
That's all
our religion.
You need to pay attention to. You don't need to worry about the Epstein files. You don't need to worry about us asking for $200 billion. The S&P 500. That's all you care about, American folks.
But everything you just say, Tim. Everything you just said about the Dow. Pam Bondi. Everything you just said about it. It's not there anymore. It crashed because of the war. Your thoughts? Can we talk about Epstein now? Is that allowed?
Before that, I want to talk about the solution that they thought.
Sure. Let's go ahead.
Let's read this article about ICE agents, because somehow we're taking one thing and trying to slot it into another when originally immigration was the problem, and then we said we're going to go out there and curb that, and now we're taking those same agents that are supposed to be doing that job, which we all voted for, and now they're just doing the basic job of guarding a door?
Well, it's not even that. You have the military police now. You have ICE there to pat down grandma, to secure the checkpoint, whatever they're going to do, and they're going to try to pass it off and say, well, it's immigration and customs enforcement. You don't even know what that stood for? Well, here's the thing. I don't want armed men with guns that work for the federal government in a capacity there to intimidate the citizenry. And you can say they're there to do a job. If they don't do the job, nobody flies. I say pay the damn TSA. We've gotten to a point now where we just submit to the slavery. Just pay the TSA people. You can find the money. They can pull it out of their butt.
Yeah, they could. They could. You know, but if the Department of Defense was about to shut down, they'd find the money tomorrow.
True.
They would find the money tomorrow if it was
find it today.
They find it today within an hour. Now, can
probably 30 minutes to be over. Yeah.
So let's go ahead and pull up this article here. ICE agents deployed to to airports as TSA times wait times.
I'll go ahead and read that.
Go ahead and read that for us.
ICE deploys to airports. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents have deployed to 14 airports today to help the Department of Homeland Security shutdown. The Transportation Security Administration has faced growing callouts from officers who have gone without pay since DHS funding lapsed in February. Travelers have been dealing with worsening airport wait times, with George Bush Intercontinental Airport in Houston warning flyers it could take more than 4 hours to get through.
To LaGuardia, that's insane.
That's hell world.
Mm-hmm.
No one will tolerate that. It was reopened this afternoon after a fatal collision. It's just more stuff is just happening. Airplane wrecks into fire truck, explodes. This we're not doing good, man. Come on, man. I'm out of words. I'm out of words. Please get me a thesaurus.
Help this man. Save us. Okay, keep going with this.
Yeah, sure. No end to shutdown in sight. There are a few signs lawmakers will reach an agreement to fund DHS, which includes TSA, ahead of a scheduled holiday break. Oh, they get to go ski?
Mm-hmm.
Randy Fine is going to cause an avalanche. He's on the slopes, and this is what our politicians
Honey,
do.
Honey, get the kids. We're going on a ski trip.
Unbelievable.
While Americans can't get it flights.
Absolutely unbelievable. President Donald Trump last night rejected a potential off-ramp to end the shutdown, sources told CNN, as he's told Republicans to only settle if they can get a pass on the federal elections overhaul bill, the SAVE Act. So,
you know what? I just had this thought. You know why it doesn't matter to any of these politicians and why it's not moving fast enough and why they have the ability? Because they just get to fly private.
Excellent point.
They just get to fly private. They're like, well, we don't have to wait in a line, so screw you.
You know, interesting little tidbit. I'll tell you one guy that didn't fly private. I've met Bernie Sanders in LAX. I've shaken his hand, actually, believe it or not. My dad confronted him and did his whole thing, whatever. But I met Bernie Sanders in the airport. At least he was flying. At least he was doing whatever. But the vast majority of these people, they're in the have-yachts part of the have-nots and have-yachts equation.
Yes, they are in the have-yachts. Because when you get into Congress, your net worth 30Xs. That's kind of how the equation goes.
So and I like MTG, but 30 million. Poof.
She went in with only like some few hundred thousand in her net worth, and then suddenly she's retiring with like $30 million, and it's like, what? And this equation's not adding up.
The older people may excuse it. The older people may say, well, it's the system and it runs how it's going to run. But people under the age of 35 years old will not tolerate this anymore. And we see it. We see these people, the Capitol residents from the Hunger Games, the way they parade themselves around, the way they act so important. Guess what? A big message of gray area, Tim, has always been these people are public servants. They work for us and we're allowed to demand a return on our investment. We're allowed to demand results. We don't have to be a fan of someone and excuse every bad thing they do. And ultimately, if you're going to pass this spending package like we talked about, you can't even open the airports up. Really? Really?
Well, they just get to go on vacation, right? You know, get the kids. We're going to go to the beach and take our private jet, and we'll just go vacation while the rest of you guys have to figure this out. That's what the equation has come down to.
I mean, hey, with prediction markets like Polymarket and Kalshi Legal, with the continued waste, fraud, and abuse that Elon was forced out of when he found it, all of it has come together to create a system, a true ship of fools, if you will. We're going to stay covering it. Alex Stein coming up. You won't want to miss it.
Here at the InfoWars studio in Austin, Texas, there's not a single desk, workstation, or studio where you can't find a half-empty product from thealexjonesstore.com. That's because we all put our money where our mouth is. And you too can be confident that you're putting into your body the absolute best supplements, nootropics, drink mixes, and tinctures that money can buy. So to all of you who are on the fence about ordering from thealexjonesstore.com, what are you waiting for? And to all of you who've made the commitment, we here at InfoWars salute you, and we'd like to say,
thank you for your support.
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 Thank you for your support at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Days to flatten the curve, wear the mask, take the shot, you can't get COVID, you can't spread it, all horse crap. And they used COVID to derail Trump's last recovery, and now, as I predict, they're using war to do it.
If you spend too much time on Twitter or get your news from the liberal mainstream media, you may have gotten the impression that the president's supporters are abandoning him in droves over Operation Epic Fury, his war to prevent your grandchildren from having to face off against a nuclear-armed Iran. Our hapless president has been dragged into this war against his will by the nefarious Bibi Netanyahu, according to people like Tucker Carlson, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Megyn Kelly, and now Joe Kent. Alas, none of that is true. The narrative that MAGA is split over Iran, beloved by the liberal media and the anti-Israel far left and right, is complete fiction. Far from a betrayal, poll after poll after poll has found massive overwhelming support for the president's strikes on Iran among Republican voters, upwards of 85%.
Here's what I tell President Trump. Keep it up for a few more weeks. Take Karg Island, where all of the resources they have to produce oil, control that island. Let this regime down a bone. Mm-hmm. I trust DOD. We got two Marine expeditionary units sailing to this island. We did Iwo Jima. We can do this.
Welcome to Vegas. Thank you all for coming. Thank you very much. Thank you.
is against that entire globalist plan of austerity and against their carbon taxes. That's why I've supported him so much, because compared to the Democrats, it's night and day. He really is returning national sovereignty to America and making our own decisions. But my God, then don't make the wrong decisions now that we have a president back in charge. This is so paradoxical, and it's so love-hate for me. And I know I've been right, and I've been proven right again. It's our own government's assessments, for heaven's sakes.
And the last time I saw Charlie Kirk on this earth was in June, in the West Wing, in the stairway. And I said hi to him, and he looked me in the eye, and he said very loudly, and it's a small, you've been in the West Wing, it's small, it's a tight space. And he said, Joe, stop us from getting into a war with Iran. Very loudly.
He was single-minded.
And he walked off, and he went, I believe, into the Oval. So when one of President Trump's closest advisors, who is vocally advocating for us to not go to war with Iran and for us to rethink at least our relationship with the Israelis, and then he's suddenly publicly assassinated, and we're not allowed to ask any questions about that.
That's why the head of the Counterterrorism Center, Joe Kent, quit this week, trying to get Trump to pay attention and change course. Instead, they've been attacking him as a traitor and saying he's a leaker with no evidence.
I can say this. He said very strongly that Iran is not a threat. Iran's been a threat for 47 years, and there's not a country in the world that doesn't agree with me on that. So I take this guy, Joe Kent, who lost twice for Congress, pretty badly and tough, and was devastated, and I know that he lost his wife. So instead of letting him live out his life, I brilliantly have my people call him and offer him a job in security, essentially, in the White House. And what does he do? He goes out and he says that Iran is not a threat, to get publicity. Now, he probably signed up with CNN.
Joe Kent, the former director of the United States National Counterterror Center, this is from Semaphore, he just resigned. He's now under FBI investigation for allegedly leaking classified information. And the investigation predates his departure.
These opening remarks with one other fake news, and that is that Israel somehow dragged the U.S. into a conflict with Iran. Does anyone really think that someone can tell President Trump what to do? Come on. President Trump always makes his decisions on what he thinks is good for America. And may I add, I think what is also good for future generations.
All the anti-Semites, to all the isolationists, I don't believe. Forget it. I'm not with you. I'm with Israel. I will be with Israel to our dying day.
It's the Israel lobby that has the main muscle to be pushing this. It's a foreign government. It's illegal as hell. I don't care if it's China, the UK, the EU involved in our politics, and they are too, and it's wrong. We're standing up against that. We're standing up against what Israel's doing. It's wrong, folks. It's unconstitutional, it's illegal, and it's treasonous.
I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra methylene blue. Blue.
I know. Blue. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra methylene blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra methylene blue. 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 I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. This stuff works, man. Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
You're watching The American Journal with Tim Tompkins and Rex Jones.
Welcome back. We're almost done with our three-hour tour. We've got the phenomenal Alex Stein about to join us. We're going to talk to him about what he's got going on, his thoughts on some crazy news stories, and the situation developing.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to having him, talking to him, because it's been a while since we've talked to him. He came on our show.
He came on our show. He came on Gray Area Talks. We had a good time. I've come on his show a couple times. He's a great dude. He's a great friend. Alex Stein, how are you doing, brother?
I got my neocons are gay for Israel hat.
Carlson, so I'm doing good, dude. Honestly, if I'm being honest, I'm not doing that great because I feel like right now we're under massive trauma-based mind control, and I know we talk about that all the time, but it feels, and you guys are young.
He's muted. You're muted. We got a bit of an issue here. Slight problem.
Yeah, you muted yourself.
We love the American Journal.
Can you hear me? No?
We can hear you.
We can hear him.
You can hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Matt, okay, all right, we're good. All right, go ahead.
Are we good?
Yeah, you're good.
We're good.
Are we good? Okay, well, let me go back to my point. Well, I was just saying, guys, the reason why I'm not doing very good is because we're under massive trauma-based mind control, because I know you fellas are very young, but it was not that long ago where they started a war in the Middle East for over 20 years for weapons of mass destruction that did not exist. And we're literally doing the same. I mean, they even admit nuclear weapons. They just potentially could get it. And now we're starting another war. So it just feels like deja vu. And I guess I'm losing hope in humanity because I thought Donald Trump was going to deport the illegals. And I thought we're going to be no wars. And he's doing the exact opposite. Now there's a huge fracture. And me and Harrison are actually debating tomorrow against some boomers versus millennials on the MAGA divide. So I'm
sorry to talk about that. Hold on. Was a little bit of that idea maybe what I did with the boomer? Because like I did a man on the street. Now I see you're about to do more man on the street stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely need to go do that. And because it is really good content. I really enjoyed your video, but no, it was Brandon Straka, the guy that created the walkaway movement. And he's doing kind of like a Jubilee style debate. So it's Harrison, me, and Owen Schroyer, and we're debating some boomers about the MAGA divide and about how Israel's basically hijacked the conservative movement. They've hijacked MAGA. I mean, literally, they've hijacked MAGA, and I'm just getting frustrated because I can tell that I'm getting a lot of hate for not just being, following Donald Trump blindly. Yeah, exactly. And it feels just like the pandemic as well. So it's like this double deja vu where I was speaking out against the pandemic and the vaccine from the very beginning, but people were getting mad. People were like, what? You don't think COVID's bad? And it just, we're going through another COVID, another weapons of mass destruction lie. And I thought all that was in the past, but we're just repeating our mistakes. Well, it seems like an unforced error.
That's such a key point there because me and Tim were just having this conversation in the last hour with COVID. If you talked about anything with the Democrats, they would just go, you don't want to kill grandma, do you? You don't want to kill grandma, do you? And now with the Republicans, it's you don't want them to have a nuclear weapon, do you? You don't want them to have a nuclear weapon, don't you? And it's like, I thought we cared about America. I thought we had priorities. I thought we didn't have to do this.
Yeah, that's why the only safe place right now is in the middle for myself because I'm
sure
I don't know which side to pick at this point. It's hard.
Kind of tired of it.
I'm tired of being bounced around.
Yeah, but Rex, I would even say this, and there was a lot of conservatives at the beginning of the pandemic that were actually kind of for it because Trump was for it. He did Operation Warp Speed. He did the vaccine. There's a lot of conservatives that actually took the vaccine, but I want to make this point. Now that you're getting attacked by the right, I would argue, and I'm not trying to sound like a victim because I'm the pimp on a blimp. I'm totally fine. But the MAGA, diehards are even more vicious than the libtards. You know what I mean? Like they're even more calculating. They're even harder to deal with than a blue haired liberal that's on a bunch of SSRIs. So like it's just a different attack from, I would argue, a more formidable opponent, if that makes sense.
Yeah, what do you think about that, Tim? No, you think they're more formidable?
Low key, I do agree with his point there because the thing about like the woke left was they didn't really have like a lot of meat to like argue with, and a lot of their points were kind of not backed.
And by these anything. People are arguing for empire.
Yeah, and a lot of the time you also see these people exist on X. They're watching a lot of content. They're actually interested in some of the topics. So they'll go down the rabbit hole sometimes and they'll just find different ways to kind of like spin the story and like, well, there's plausible deniability here and you're not so sure about this thing. Well, what about this? And I do agree with Alex on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly, like I said, it's MAGA, the MAGA movement, which I voted for Donald Trump 3 times, but it just seems like it's on life support. And if you're using Jared Kushner as son-in-law to go negotiate these peace treaties with Iran, and I think it's obvious that Jared Kushner is going to be loyal to Israel. So basically, it's like we're sending a spy in to go negotiate with our enemy. I mean, I would just like, maybe one Christian. I don't, at this point, I'd almost rather have a Scientologist going in and negotiating, and that's insane.
You talk about Christians. Hey, we got Huckabee. We got the guy that wants the apocalypse and all that. What are you complaining about?
Yeah, he's a really good example of a Christian. So all I'm saying is it's not all black pill. It's not all doom and gloom, but I'm just a little frustrated because I can just see the people that were just supporting me die, you know, the diehard people that supported the pimp on a blimp are now mad at me. And, to be honest, I'll even give you some inside baseball. So I go on Sky News every week and I had some really anti-war stuff. And 2 weeks ago, they said, oh, Alex, we're going to have you, skip your appearance this week. That was the first time in 2 years. And I'm like, man, this is weird. This is weird. And I love Rita. I love everybody at Sky News. They're so nice. But as soon as they started getting gas rationed, as soon as their gas prices went through the roof, they brought me right back on to talk about the war. So I'm not calling out Sky News. They've been so gracious to me, but I'm just saying people are starting to realize it. It kind of took Sky News a couple of weeks until their Sky News Australia specifically to see the repercussions of this. And then now they're like, oh, maybe Alex is right that we shouldn't just blindly trust our president to lead us into a war with no clear objective and no clear off ramp.
Well,
and, I feel like I'm right. I feel like I'm batting 1,000 when it comes to this stuff.
Well, Alex, if you just think about it, it takes a lot of guts in order to actually be the first one to step out. Until it becomes mainstream and it becomes familiar and people feel comfortable to talk about it, similar to what we saw with like the COVID vaccine, like you couldn't talk about that back in the day. But then once it came out that, oh, wait, the vaccine wasn't so good, then people on the left could start criticizing it, then people in the center, and then you didn't actually get censored for it because it was out there enough for you to actually have real concrete evidence for things.
100%.
So I see where you're going with that, and it makes perfect sense.
And you will be respected. You will be seen as principled into the future, just like everyone else who's being passionately anti-war. That's why I've gone so hard. I've gotten a lot of hate as well, but here's the thing. You can't support this. You absolutely can't. And long term, these people's political futures, they're over. They're done. So it may be tough now, but I think sticking by your guns and your principles and what you truly do believe in, which is pro-humanity, anti-war, that's why we get along so well, you're going to be rewarded from that long term.
What do you think about Joe Kent, Alex? Him resigning, all the things.
I mean, I like Joe Kent. I mean, my buddy Rex's favorite host, Tim Pool, him and I were debating. Now Tim is so blackpilled. Tim thinks he's CIA and he's going to run for president and all this weird stuff. And I don't think any of that's true. I mean, I was arguing with him about it, but I do think Joe Kent is ex-CIA, but I think it's obvious that he, is just speaking the truth when it comes to who got us into this war. And you know what? People are calling him an anti-Semite for saying that Israel dragged us into this war, but the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, literally said that we had to attack Iran because Israel was going to attack them anyway, and we knew that Iran would retaliate.
Sure.
So we're just repeating what we're hearing from the Secretary of State, but somehow Joe Kent is an anti-Semite for saying the exact same thing that Marco Rubio said. So it literally doesn't make sense. And I guess the worst part about this is if you're not 1,000% pro-Israel, if you're only 99%, Laura Loomer and Mark Levin will chew you up and spit you out. And that's what I'm getting frustrated is just like this, you can't even critique Israel. And I have nothing against Jewish people. I'm not anti-Semitic. I have a lot of Jewish friends. My grandfather is Jewish, but I should be able to talk about foreign relations with foreign countries, and I don't have to just blindly support them, even if they say they're our biggest ally. I'd like to know what Israel does for us. And they asked Ted Cruz. He said, well, we get a lot of information from Mossad. Well, I thought conservatives were supposed to hate the alphabet agencies. I thought we're supposed to hate the CIA and FBI and all of these institutions that basically, usurp the Constitution and take away our rights. But now we're supposed to be the biggest allies with Israel because Mossad is such a great intelligence agency. Like, what are we doing here? Literally is just so contradictory, it makes me sick.
Well, those guys, they're on the team, okay? There are guys, and they're looking into it. So I don't know what you're complaining about. Ultimately, this is what we're told to do. We're told to wait. The things that we were promised, things we elected these people to do, we just got to give them a little bit of time. And that's been the narrative literally since I became politically aware. Someone like you, remembering the Iraq War, the Afghanistan conflict, they've sold Americans this conflict, these endless wars, every single which way that they can. And what I'm coming to realize is it'll never stop. It will never stop. It'll always continue. We're just talking about the budget, and Trump has another quote, and he's like, yeah, we don't just need the $200 billion for this war. We got future stuff coming up. Is that what we voted for?
Maybe it is what we voted for, Rex.
Yes.
I think about this a lot. I thought we were done with this after Iraq.
Sure.
I really thought we were done with this because after we withdrew and I thought, I was like, wow, Trump's doing fantastic. He's starting the initiative to pull back the troops. And then I was glad that Biden kind of saw that through. But then somehow it's like we just got Groundhog's Day and just woke up with the same nightmare.
I want to toss to Alex, but I want to make this point really quick. Alex, don't you see the Iran was an imminent threat? Iran had a nuclear weapon or was about to get a nuclear weapon. Isn't that the vaccine stops transmission? You don't want to kill grandma?
Well, it's even worse. I'm telling you, Rex, it's the most uncreative conspiracy in the world. It's literally why we fought a war with the entire Middle East because of weapons of mass destruction. They're just not calling it weapons of mass destruction because that would trigger something in the boomers and probably give them PTSD. But it's the same exact lie. Oh, we got to go blow up people. We got to raise our gas prices nearly 50% in 3 weeks because they potentially could have weapons. And they even admit they don't even have the weapons. And then you guys saw that how now they're using that conspiracy. Oh, there was a bomb that almost went to Diego Garcia, so now they have that bomb. Iran said they didn't even shoot that bomb. So when there's wars like this, there's all kinds of false flag BS and nonsense that we don't even know it's real and fake. And then they can take it and spin it and be like, look, Iran lied. They have some seriously sophisticated weapons that can hit the middle of Europe, which is probably not true. So, and to be honest, their missiles have been very accurate. If they try to hit Diego Garcia, they have information from, Russia and China. They could probably hit it. So we're getting a lot of misinformation. We're going to get, false flagged. And I saw that in the Valero Petroleum Station, the refinery in Houston, Texas, went up in flames. How convenient is that? And this is just like the pandemic when all of a sudden all the food processing plants just started catching on fire. So something's going on. There's probably funny actors, and I'm not saying it's all Mossad, but I wouldn't put it past them. And they're trying to squeeze us. They're putting the pressure on us because that's what they like to do. And that's the best way that they can control us by just putting massive amounts of pressure.
Well, our government's worried about spending all this money on wars. I wanted to show you this because I think it's kind of down your alley, down your lane. Breaking, NASA Administrator Jared Isaacman announces plans to build a permanent U.S. base on the moon. The plan rolls out in three phases, rover deployment, habitable infrastructure, and ultimately a permanent human presence on lunar surface.
The next frontier.
Do you believe in that?
Yeah. No, that is the fakest crap I've ever seen. I mean, they said the Artemis mission was going to go to the moon. Now they have to keep, kicking the can down the road. They're never going to have a space hotel. They're never going to have any of that stuff that they talk about. It's just a way for them to launder money. And if you ever go to the Johnson Space Center in Houston, I've been there twice. It looks worse than Disneyland. I mean, it literally looks like, a theme park, but not even a good one. So, no, they're not going to have anything on the moon and no bases on the moon. And if anybody's being honest, if I'm being honest, China is dominating us in the space race right now. They have technology that's in the sky that can do a lot more damage than us, allegedly. I mean, I don't know that, but it just looks like when it comes to this stuff, it's another lie. It's meant to distract the people, the science nerds that just love this stuff. And it's just another tool in their toolbox to kind of distract us from what's going on. Because have you noticed, and I know everybody said this, we haven't talked about Epstein. We haven't talked about Epstein one bit since all this stuff happened. And so when it comes to, the moon base, that's just to get people excited. It's to get teachers to talk to their students about it in their classroom. But really, at the end of the day, it's all nonsense. And, if you look at how many people have gone to the moon, we went there 6 times and back allegedly, but even astronauts have been to the space station. Less than 300 people have even been to space. So like this fantasy that they're going to have a space base and we're just going to be able to go travel there, it's just all a bunch of nonsense. People need to worry about what's going on here on Earth and really get this together.
Well, Alex, you're talking about something we shouldn't be talking about. You've got Trump derangement syndrome.
That's right. What's up with the TDS?
How dare you talk about the Epstein files? The S&P 500 is at all-time highs. That's what you should be paying attention to.
Epstein never existed, and it gets to a point now where we just have all the information, all the photos of Epstein with Trump, all the communications, all the mentions.
Well, Rex, I got to cut you off. We don't have all of it. We don't have all of it. You're have a lot missing. Sorry, I'm yelling, but I mean, everybody says that, we got it all. There's a crap ton that we don't have. Right. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but there's a lot missing.
No, you're 100% accurate with that. I totally agree. That's actually the point I was going to make.
Oh, sorry to cut you off. I just get frustrated because everybody's like, we've already seen it all. There's no evidence. We're all good. Ben Shapiro's like, we saw it all. It's good. We haven't seen anything. We've seen the 15% of what they have. And if you think that because they tell us that we've seen millions of pages of documents, trust
me,
all
the good
stuff.
We've seen some black lines. That's for sure. We've definitely seen some black lines.
The best redactions you've ever seen.
You can copy and paste them into a Word browser and you can determine what's behind those red lines.
It gets to a point that if you identify now as whatever Trump's brand of MAGA is, we would define it as MIGA, make Israel or Iran great again. That's what we would define it as. You have to ignore the Epstein thing. You have to almost reject it immediately, right? Because that doesn't subscribe to the dear leader's narrative.
Well, you tell me this, Alex. Do you think they started this conflict to distract from the Epstein files? Because at the end of the day, I'm thinking about it and I'm like, you know what? This is all too close. This is all too familiar.
I mean, you know, everybody says Trump's playing 5D chess. I think they've been wanting to go to Iran since, you know, Reagan, since 1979. And allegedly they've been lobbying every president, you know, since the Ayatollah was put in place to go bomb Iran. So I think that this Iran plan was, you know, in place long before we even knew about Jeffrey Epstein. But it is awfully convenient that this happens. And then every single news cycle stops talking about Epstein. But if we're being honest, a lot of the news cycles weren't even talking about it before the Iran war because it doesn't really benefit them. Even CNN, you would think that they would be using this as a weapon to go after Trump. Even they don't cover it because there's so many famous and influential people that are connected to this. They don't want to burn bridges. And that's really what this is about at the end of the day, is that we know there's people like Bill Gates and influential people that were friends with him, and they don't want them to catch stray bullets. And really and truly, was this war started just to distract us? No, but I think it was a good side effect of a war that they've wanted to start for 47 years.
But why is Europe able to do something about it? They've immediately had started doing things about, you know, Prince Andrew, and you've got other people that happen in all these other countries. How is the United States not, you know, following suit? Even
we're the people doing it.
Well, you know, to speak on the Prince Andrew thing, I think he'll end up getting a sweetheart deal. But, you know, Prince Charles, his dad, his dad, I guess, is Prince Charles, was best friends with Jimmy Savile, who was hanging out with a bunch of pedophiles, taking bodies from the, you know, Royal Children's Hospital and doing satanic ritualistic abuse to it.
Yes.
So because they had a prolific pedophile like Jimmy Savile, their radars are up in the UK, and it's not a huge country. So they're trying to use Prince Andrew as a fall guy, which, you know, I can understand. You know, it is what it is. Andrew can be the fall guy, but, oh, excuse me, his dad was Prince Philip. I get all the royal family confused. I think it was Prince Philip. I don't know any of that nonsense.
This evil
what
monster.
What I do know is that Andrew's just a scapegoat.
Yeah, this evil monster they're showing in B-roll, Jimmy Savile would climb into like the paralyzed wing of the children's hospital.
That's insane.
Like, it's beyond any kind of like example that anyone could give. And this is the type of stuff that people like Michael Tracy and others will say, oh, Epstein file is not real. It's all satanic panic. No, it's not. There's a reason why all these events happen. They're way too weird and the world's run by very evil people.
Yeah,
it literally is. I mean, you're not exaggerating. You're telling the truth.
When do you think that Epstein will come back into the mainstream, or do you think ever, because of the Iran conflict taking all of the media space?
Well, Epstein will always have a place. Have you guys seen this guy, Palm Beach Pete? It's been going viral. A guy that looks so. We're never going to forget about it, but now it's going to soften the blow because Palm Beach Pete said he's going to come on my podcast, and I'm kind of almost debating it. Well, yeah, I'm debating it not because it's not funny, and I'm a comedian. I like to make a laugh out of stuff that's serious, but now it's like all a joke. It's no big deal that they're on islands doing stuff to 12-year-olds. You know, it all becomes a meme. It was like how 9/11 was an inside job became a meme, and now we don't take it serious. Now people are like, oh, who cares? Bush did 9/11. It was just a meme. It's just a joke. When in reality, there's a lot of truth to that meme. You know, 9/11, we had prior knowledge before those towers went down that a guy named Osama bin Laden, who we actually funded and created the Mujahideen and was a big, you know, ally of ours before 9/11, before we blamed it on him. So, you know, that's what they do. We can meme something to death, and that's what the CIA does. That's what the alphabet agencies do. They create these fake social media campaigns where they can turn something incredibly serious into a joke. And I'm starting to see that with this Palm Beach Pete guy where everybody's laughing and it's no big deal. And I don't want to get too deep into it, but even Charlie Kirk, you know, they a lot of that has been artificial information. Yeah. They've been trying to meme Charlie Kirk, which I don't like, to try to make it not seem like how such a serious situation, because I think what Charlie's done is one of the
point.
Most serious assassinations ever, and then they make it a joke so we don't take it serious, so it lightens the heaviness of the situation.
Yeah, you see on X people putting Charlie Kirk in, like, you know, action-packed films with Diddy and Epstein.
Yes.
What is
the Avengers? That's such a good point. I didn't even consider how that could be a targeted campaign, Alex. I think that's very obvious just looking at it. They try to disarm, like, obviously talking about things that are so horrible, you have to disarm with humor sometimes, like if you're covering the news. But they've created an entire campaign to where, you know, a kid in school might want to learn about the corrupt government, but they're going to get distracted by Epstein reels.
Yes.
Where Epstein is Superman, you know?
No, and I saw this with Instagram years ago before 2016 and 2015. That was when the social media campaign started, when people really were going on YouTube, when your dad was, you know, really bumping, talking about 9/11 seriously. There was a coordinated campaign to say 9/11 was an inside job. Bush did 9/11, and you'd see all these memes. It was like when, and you guys are so young, y'all might not even remember, but I know, Rex, you've been in the scene a lot. They used to have these memes where they'd make Joe Biden look really cool.
Yeah.
They'd have, like, Joe Biden.
Dark Brandon.
And that was all. Yeah, yeah. Well, no, that was even before Dark Brandon. They would have him, like, sitting in the limousine, like, eating ice cream.
Yep.
It was even
taking
before Dark Brandon.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just that. You're like, why are they eight, you know, and this is 8 years before he became president, or 4 years before he became president, you know, trying to make him look cool, and it was just so artificial. So that's what they use. And I do the same thing. I guess now I'm like Saul Alinsky using Rules for Radicals. I try to make humor out of serious situation, but I try to do it because I don't want somebody to believe me, but I do want people to ask questions. That's what we're not doing as a society, is we're not questioning authority enough. We're just blindly believing the experts, and it's exactly what they want us to do. And that's why they said during the pandemic, don't do your own research. Don't do your own research.
Well,
that's literally was what they said.
Well, it's hard to get people to listen. And I saw you do that Man on the Street where you're asking people about the Iran war. I did the same thing. I must ask 100 people. I got answers out of like 10 of them. And the American public is just ignorant, and they're trained to be ignorant. They're kept in that kind of like a low awareness state where they're kind of sleepwalking through life. But ultimately, if it all does become funny, if it all does become a joke, then it has no actual emotional impact on them. And that genuine emotional impact of being a human, caring about your family, caring about your friends, caring about the species, that gets from move was kind of just a chuckle response.
No, you're right. I
you're
mean,
exactly
if you
right.
Desensitizing is one of the things that they hope happens in society, because as you allow,
they've insured it.
Well, as you allow people to not be informed on things, you can control people easily. Controlling the narrative is everything, folks.
Absolutely. We're going to do another 5 minutes with the great Alex Stein. We're coming up on it. Thank you so much for being here. Catch us on the other side.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15-20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke, in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down, to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. Now, I've been telling you this for decades, so they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research, the human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer when they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document. The potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. So we've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation. Total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our Ultra Methylene Blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
We are back live. We've got Alex Stein with us for another 5 minutes, but I want to put out the number now. We want to take a couple to a few callers. We want to let you know that we're here to listen to you. We want to know what you want us to cover. Please call 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. Add a one in front of it if you need to. 877-789-2539. We look forward to hearing from you after these 5 minutes. Alex Stein, in closing, Tim, you want to ask him a question?
Yeah. Alex, you got some stuff coming up with this man on the street stuff. I'm seeing it. How has that been going for you?
Well, you know, I mean, Rex knows. You just got to go out there. You got to find some people that want to talk. I mean, the biggest problem with it is actually a little harder than it looks, is you got to ask 100 people just to get 10 answers. So, you know, if you're willing to kind of go out there and just, you know, be polite and say, hey, can I interview you? Most people say no, but a lot of people end up saying yes. But I guess the real trick is finding people that actually want to say something spicy, because half the times, even when they say yes, they're worried about getting fired from their job. Sure. They're worried about being controversial. So that's kind of the other, you know, issue that you have. It's like, one, you got to find somebody that's willing to do the interview. And second, you got to find somebody that's willing to say something spicy. But what I do want to plug, actually, before I go.
Go
so
ahead.
I'm doing a debate tomorrow with Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer. And, you know, I think it's going to be really good. It's a Jubilee style debate. And I hope, you know, this is what I was talking about earlier. I know I'm going to do this debate. I know I'm going to talk about how MAGA is on life support, not doing well, and how our president is really too loyal to Israel. And I know that when the clips go viral, that I'm going to get so much hate. So all of the info warriors out there that support me, support Harrison, and support Owen, please show us some love, because I think that this will be an important conversation to have. And I'm not trying to gas it up. I just think it's important that we start having these tough conversations, because Donald Trump, he's not going to be president very much long. He's not much longer. I mean, I guess a couple more years. And Then it's going to be Vance versus Rubio. So it's going to be a bloodbath. And I guess my point is like, people need to either figure out what's going on, or they're just going to kind of die on the vine with MAGA. And I don't want to see that happen, because then we're going to have President Gavin Newsom or President AOC, and we're going to have a billion more illegal immigrants, a billion more abortions, and probably mandatory vaccines or vaccine passports during the, you know, inevitable next pandemic. So, you know, it's important that we start, I guess, kind of building a coalition of people that aren't just blindly following a president that's being, you know, led by a country the size of New Jersey.
Phenomenal, dude. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I want to plug you really quick because you're an amazing human being. You're a free speech absolutist. You're a real citizen journalist. You really do media. There's few people like that left anymore. Honored to call you a friend. I know Tim feels the same exact way.
Yes, I do.
We absolutely love you, man. Where can people find your regular show? Where can they catch you live if they're having a hankering for that?
Well, Rex was my first guest, guys. I'm lucky to be on Real America's Voice. It's Monday through Friday, 11 p.m. Eastern. I'm on every night. And I have great guests like Rex Jones. I got, Enrique Tarrio's coming on this week. You know, I get all the spicy people that the mainstream media doesn't want to have on their shows. So if you guys want to watch something that's a little different, that's late at night, that's not Stephen Colbert, come on over and check out Primetime Alex Stein. And if you want to watch the show, I got clips on my Twitter, X, whatever you call it, and I post them on Instagram as well. So show the Pimp on a Blimp some love, especially because I know the info warriors that watch this show know what's going on. So I really could use you guys, in the chat, in the comment section, because I'm fighting these Israeli bots and it's an uphill battle every day.
He's working hard for you guys.
Where can they actually find the debate? Because I'm curious.
Where do we watch that?
Well, we film it tomorrow at 3 p.m. and I believe it'll come out a day or two after. So it'll be, and you know, the clips will be everywhere. And it's Harrison Smith, Owen Schroyer, and Alex Stein versus three boomers. I don't know who the boomers are. They haven't told us, but I think it's going to, I mean, you got three lethal guys, especially Harrison. I mean, you know, powerful. And then Owen's going to go insane. And the only thing that they told me is they said, try not to make a joke of it. And I was like, listen, there's nothing funny. I might have a few sarcastic moments, but I'm going in there like laser focused, ready to just, eat some boomers for breakfast.
I know you're going to rage bait them.
We love it. Yeah. We love it. We demand it. We're going to be waiting with bated breath for that to come out. Thank you so much, Alex Stein, for coming on our show.
Always a pleasure. Talk to you guys soon.
Thank you very much. That was the great Alex Stein on The American Journal, both on Gray Area Talks and American Journal. We get the best guests. We continue to have the best guests on, and we're going to hear from callers now. What do you think?
Yeah, we are going to hear from callers pretty soon. Honestly, it's just refreshing. It's always nice to hear from Alex. You know, he's one of those guys that tries to make, you know, light of situation, because there's a lot of like hatred, there's a lot of darkness out there, and it's like, you know, sometimes you need a laugh. So I do like Alex. He always brings that comedy to the scene rather than just being a strict political
disagree. He's an absolute warrior for free speech. He exercises his rights in the fullest. You can agree or disagree with that, but he's a true American. We want to take some calls now. We got a Wisconsinite on the board. They're typing up a description right now. Iran war. Let's go ahead and take that call once we got a name for it. Oh, no, you're all good. You're all good. They're still screening calls. So we got people calling in. The goal of people calling in is we want to know your thoughts on what we covered today, but also what you want to know more from us on the show.
Yeah.
Because we're about viewer, listener feedback. That's what we care about. We're here to earn your respect.
Yeah, we are here to earn your respect. And honestly, it is nice to have a conversation with people because, you know, Rex and I get to talk to each other very often.
Sure. We're
always involved behind the scenes, but we want to bring it full circle and allow you guys to interact with us because we're the new guys on the street, but we actually want to carve a name out for ourselves here. And 100%. We really love the opportunity to be able to do this on the American Journal.
We absolutely love it. Let's take that first caller. Godzilla from Wisconsin. You're on the air. How are you doing, Godzilla?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Tim? How you doing, Rex?
Pretty good.
Doing phenomenal.
The T-Rex and Godzilla.
Yeah.
Morning in the morning.
Love it.
I wanted to bounce the conspiracy theory off you guys since, you know, like the conspiracy theory show.
Sure.
And I haven't heard you guys talk about it. Given like that about a third, 33% of the U.S. presidents are declared Masons, and the country is pretty much founded by Masons, you know, George Washington, Jackson, Ben Franklin, even though he wasn't a president. What are your thoughts on the possibility that this is like how Albert Pike was talking about Masonic and Jewish war?
I think it's one of the power blocks. I think that there are various factions that are involved in anything. Of course, people that dress up in robes and pretend to kill each other aren't sane and they shouldn't be involved in government. And a lot of them are, right? And this is kind of the nature of people that seek out power. People that seek out power, a lot of them are dark triad, narcissists, sociopaths, psychopath, and they migrate towards satanic hermetic rituals. They do these things. My dad covered this 20 years ago.
Well, so, and the thing that I've talked about with Rex is that sometimes you have to be kind of crazy in order to climb up the ranks, because the average person isn't thinking, well, how do I take control? You've got to have a different level.
You got to have a screw loose. You got to have something wrong with you ultimately to pursue those things. Here's my thing. I believe in it. I know it's real. I know these groups exist and that they're evil. The thing where a lot of people go is they only talk about this stuff and it's like, this is the causality for everything and whatnot. I don't particularly subscribe to that. I don't know exactly like by how you saying the Masons all the time. I don't know how I affect change. I just talk about the problems and the people involved.
And sometimes when you get involved in these like, you know, rabbit holes, you kind of miss the main points and some of the truths that actually are more important that impact your life. So that's why typically when Rex and I come on, we like to talk
like,
about the meat and
where do we go? Maybe this is a question to ask you. Where do we go to find like where's the Drudge Report for like the Masons' activities in the government? Like, where's the resource for that information? Or is it just like, we know a bunch of people are in these secret societies. We want more information about what they're actually doing. Godzilla, your answer.
Well, you can look. They have like Twitter and X now, you know, and like the Masonic Lodge in Tokyo said Trump was a Mason. And you know, that like any group, you know, like in Israel or any group, there's like good set or the Catholic Church or Jesuits, you know, there's like good Masons, bad Masons, good lodges, bad lodges, satanic sects, non-satanic sects, Christian sects, you know, it's like a different mix, you know, and like the country's founded by Masons.
Washington.
I'm sure you guys can see that. And like, have you guys seen that Albert Pike quote I'm referring to or no?
No, I haven't seen the Albert Pike quote you're referring to.
I would recommend you guys check it out. Albert Pike, he was a big Mason guy. And like before, like 100 years ago, he was talking about how the situation that we have right now would pan out. He was saying that the Third World War was going to be between the Islamic Caliphate and Israel. If you type in Albert Pike, Third World War quote, it will come up. Okay. You know, and like... with Trump, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing if he's part of a Masonic group, you know, because like I said, you know, there's plenty of Masons in American history. So it could just be like the gang or mafia that he's in, you know, other people, you know, the Q people say like plus ultra, you know, some mafia. It's hard for me to believe that everything that's gone on, that he's just Han Soloing it, you know, that there's definitely like some sort of competing groups going on.
We definitely agree on that. I'll do the Albert Pike research. Call back in. We'll talk about it. Thank you, Godzilla. I want to get through the board a little bit here because we're limited on time. Nope. Let's go to Alex in Michigan wants to talk Epstein. Alex in Michigan, you're about to be on the air.
Hey, how's it going, you guys?
Doing well.
Pretty good.
What's on your mind?
Yeah, so everyone wants to blame Israel for Jeffrey Epstein, but he was actually a Jesuit working for the Black Pope, and I have pictures of him with Pope John Paul II, and also pictures of John Podesta with Pope John Paul II. And so you were just talking about the Freemasons. Also, the Jesuit order, they wrote all the high degrees of Freemasonry in the 1700s at the College of Clermont in Paris. And that's also in the Encyclopedia of Freemasonry written by Albert Mackey. If you go to J for Jesuit, just read that whole section in the Encyclopedia of Freemasonry. It tells the whole story. So the Jesuits run it all, and the G in the center of the compass and square, that means Jesuit general. And most Masons don't know that because it's all a big Jesuit secret, and it's all related to the Knights Templars also, and they crusaded to get Jerusalem for the Pope. And so when you really study the history, it's actually the Jesuits, not the Jews. And most of our government officials, they're Catholic or crypto-Catholic, and they meet with the Pope, like, Jesuit J.D. Vance, he met with Pope Francis right before he died, and then he also met with Pope Leo right when he was elected. So I think Marco Rubio did that also. So all our leaders are Jesuits. They're not Jews. That's my main.
Interesting take. Really appreciate the call. Thank you. Let's go to Paul in Georgia now, investigative journalist that we should look into. Go ahead, Paul.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate you taking the call. Longtime listener. There's an investigative journalist out there named Real George Webb with two B's, number one. That's on X. And there's another individual I want you to look into is Peter Duke. These guys are pretty good information givers, and they can get to the bottom of a lot of stuff. They have great contacts, and they look at metadata. If you've been in the InfoWar for a long time, you run across a lot of data, and they go deep. Like Duke goes as far back as the Bronze Age, and then goes to the Phoenicians and talks about how the globalists are working together and have been for many, many, many years. And so a lot of groups get blamed, like the Jews, who get conflated with the Zionists and so forth. So you really have to look at the power structures and who's it benefiting, and they get to the bottom of a lot of stuff, including the Charlie Kirk information. So I'm not telling you what to believe. I just want you to bring those to your attention and have you guys look at them and see what you think about their information. I was really hoping at one time or another you'd get George Webb on the show and you guys would have a field day with him. But that's up to you guys, of course.
Well, thank you for the names. We hope you call back because we're going to continue hosting the show. George Webb and Peter Duke, we'll look into that.
We'll look into that.
Thank you. Let's go to caller number 8 now. Let's go to caller number 8.
Craig. Yeah, let's go to Craig, talk about defense spending and the new Marshall Plan. Craig, you are on the line. What do you got on your mind here?
Hey, guys, I thought you did a great job today talking about the defense spending and walking people through that. The thing that doesn't, and let me just kind of add on to that, that people don't talk about the debt enough. You know, I mean, occasionally we get into these little spurts where we talk about the debt. You know, we're now pushing $40 trillion, and then you got all the off-balance sheet stuff and unfunded liabilities, right? You know, you guys are well aware of that, I'm sure. But the big thing I think that's going on right now with the Middle East is, you know, I think they're setting this up, and I know that, what's his name? The guy that does the Sunday night show, Chase, he's talked a little bit about this IMET corridor. And I think that if you really look at the Middle East, they don't have a lot of debt because of Sharia law. And so if you're going to relocate the world financial capital, because ultimately we're going to have a sovereign debt crisis because the East, the West, everybody's in massive amount of debt. You can see them setting this up with the Board of Peace. I don't know if you guys have studied the Board of Peace at
sure,
all.
Sure, yeah, we're up to date.
It's a total atrocity. I mean, when you look at the Board of Peace and who's on it, I mean, it's very well staged to facilitate this transfer to the Middle East, and you can see what's going on, right? I mean, if you look at India, you know, across Saudi Arabia, into Haifa, you know, you got to take out Gaza, right? You put up 6 15-minute cities in Gaza. They've proven this with, you know, in Saudi Arabia. I mean, they've put major, you know, gorgeous cities in place that, yep. that you know, the extreme wealthy would love to live in. And obviously, then you bring Formula One and everything else there, right, that can go there.
Well, let me jump in here because I want to touch on what you were just talking about specifically with these new cities. The thing that I'm afraid of is they're saying it's for the Palestinian people. But if you really think about it, if they put up all these high rises, let's say it costs money to run these buildings, you've got to pay rent. I wonder what the true number comes out to be in which this is how gentrification happens, right? The price continues to go up to where the average person can't afford to actually live in it. So either they've got to pay for the people's rents after destroying their homes, or they're going to get pushed out, or they're not going to be able to afford, like they can't afford to live in a penthouse. Like, it doesn't make any sense. So I'm wondering.
But don't Trump Gaza and all of that. But that's exactly what you're talking about. Your thoughts, caller.
Well, I mean, I think those are good points. But what I really want to do is redirect your attention back to stable coins, USD1, USDC, USDT, right? You got Lutnick, USDT, Cantor Fitzgerald runs that. You have USD1, which is World Liberty Financial. You have USDC, which is Circle related, and so forth. And so this is a dollar for dollar asset backed currency, right? Stablecoin. So we've been through world reserve currency changes before. We just happened to hold two of them under our own umbrella, Bretton Woods, off of gold, onto crude, right? And now we're clearly at the end of this world reserve currency, right? And I think this ties into the whole thing because this is really about, if you really look at Board of Peace and you look at Gaza and you look at what's going on there, I really think it's about the new world reserve currency. And they're going to transition from the U.S. dollar to a stable coin.
Yes.
And then they're going to tokenize assets. And it's all going to be about tokenization of assets and control of things. And what better way to do that than just devastate a whole area? You know, I mean, kind of like they did post-World War II, we financed it with the Marshall Plan. Essentially, they're going to devastate this. And you can already see Kushner and his brother lining up with tons and tons of money to go into Gaza and set up shop while the government basically backs all this stuff. So I don't think this is about – I mean, this is about oil and control. And think about this, too. I mean, you got East-West. This is all about corridors. You got Greenland going across Russia. You got, you know, the Our own canal, right? The one in South, our canal. But this is all about choke points around the world, right? Controlling the flow of this stuff. Look what's going on with Asia. I mean, Asia is so screwed because of this. They're starting to hoard oil. So it is about the energy. I don't want to distract from the energy, but I think the real goal here is to transition from, you know, this to the dollar, to the stable coin to tokenization, and then essentially control of all assets in the technology.
Excellent point. It is all about the stable coin and the development of our debt into something that we could actually work with. Thank you for the phenomenal call. We're a little short on time. Sorry for being a little short on the callers. We're going to do a full 1 hour call-in section next time. Thank you. We're going to go to Nimrod Lou in Dallas. How are you doing, Nimrod Lou?
I'll tell you what, it's an absolute pleasure to turn on InfoWars at 8 a.m. every morning and see your two beautiful faces.
Thank you. We love it.
Of course. Yeah, I want to call in because obviously the gray area is different than any other show because you guys have a solution-based platform. And without the solutions, it becomes a lot of blackmailing and gloom and doom. And something I really love about your show outside of InfoWars is that you give us the opportunity to learn more about grassroots candidates. And especially following this massive loss that we had in the Texas primaries, where essentially the entire deep state establishment ran through the whole state, and we will probably turn blue. I think it's important that independent media starts taking the primaries seriously. So do you plan on platforming any great grassroots candidates on the American Journal in the near future?
Yeah, man, we'd love to have, you know, Fishback. We're going to have Fishback back on. We're going to talk to a lot of other people. This is why feedback from people that listen, people like Nimrod and others, is so valuable, because like that's the thing people responded to the most. Yeah. Is like they want to see who's actually running in these races. It's not a part of the big machine.
Yeah, and the thing about grassroots campaigns is, you know, they're a little bit closer to the average person, and they're not being bought out. Very often they're rarely being bought out. And so I appreciate you being a listener, not just only the American Journal, but a gray area. And that's one of the shows that we've started from. And we're just trying to bring that flavor and that sauce to this show specifically, because you're right. Not a lot of shows are giving you guys, are giving solutions. It's very easy to get blackpilled.
Sure. And you just kind of get stunlocked in that position of more negative news, more negative news, more negative information. It's actually positive when you tie it into, hey, things are so bad right now, they could get so good if we just actually put in the time, the work, the effort. Let's throw Gray Area Talks, let's throw the X account up there. We do a show Thursday and Sunday as well. I just want to show people. But Nimrod, after watching us for I don't know how many episodes and seeing us in here now, we really feel like we've grown. We're starting to do a better job. Are you happy with the program? Because your feedback really matters to us.
Absolutely. I think it's getting really hard to figure out who I can trust in independent media. Obviously, the mainstream media is complete BS.
Right.
And we're starting to see that same BS trickle into the independent, semi-mainstream media, like the Tim Pools of the world, the Benny Johnsons. These guys are complete propagandists. They work on behalf of the administration, and they're not going to exist in the post-Trump era. But the gray area, I predict, is going to dominate. The American Journal, the InfoWars team as a whole, is going to dominate the post-Trump era as long as you stay true to the principles that built this organization, the principles that your father started over three decades ago. If we stay true to those principles, I think Gray Area and other independent thinkers and other radical centrists like yourselves will run this country and give the power back to the people.
Well, that's the real thing, is that InfoWars is the blueprint. InfoWars is the model. The Alex Jones Show, the War Room, the American Journal, all these wonderful things that have developed organically through people's skill, through people's time, through people caring about the effort, caring about giving people the best information. Anyone that's in alternative media, anybody that wants to be in alternative media, Fuentes made this point a while back and it absolutely pisses me off. Here's the thing. You can do this job. Your mom could do this job. Your gardener could do this job. Your grandpa could do this job. All you have to care about is having a passion for the information and delivering solutions to the people. So I'm sure it takes a lot of rhetoric to kind of like push a doom and gloom message all the time. We talk doom and gloom. We also talk about how it could get better. And that's what people are missing. And that's what InfoWars has always been. It's been a harkening back to our rights, what we believe in as Americans, as a society.
Well, thank you. Thank you for calling in. The feedback is phenomenal, Nimrod. This is the thing, the juice that keeps us going. So we appreciate you calling in.
Yeah. God bless you guys.
Thank you so much. That was actually, that was Nimrod Pod. You can follow him on X, Nimrod Pod. Phenomenal guy, longtime listener of our show, Gray Area Talks. If you're interested in Gray Area Talks itself, we are on X with that account. I'm Rex Jones News on Twitter. Tim is Truism Tim on Twitter.
Yeah, give us a follow, folks. Yeah. We really appreciate anything that you guys want to do to support us outside of the show, because we really do care about this. We really care about giving you guys the best information without bias and independence.
Yes. So. And we love it. We're learning more. Our political positions are evolving. We're not set in stone. We're not going to die on a hill like you see all these older people doing. We're trying to get better because young people demand a change. We demand a solution, and we demand to know the truth about our government.
Yes, we do. You want to tell people about the deal we got going on?
Yeah, I do want to tell people about the deal we got going on. Free t-shirt. If you subscribe to any product right now, you get a free t-shirt. And if you're buying the iodine, just regular buying the iodine, it's 30% off right now. But if you're a VIP member, which I highly suggest, you can get another product basically for free every month. Go ahead and get the iodine for 50% off if you're a VIP. It's worth it for that alone. We got methylene blue. We got power plant. We got methyl drive. Go find the power drive bundle. Really quick on the website, I want to read to you about this. Three compounds, three mechanisms, one complete performance system. Methylene blue, methyl drive, power plant. What do they do? Methylene blue works on the electron transport chain, boosts your brain, boosts your body, boosts mitochondrial function. Methyl drive, CoQ10 and PQQ for mitochondrial support, biogenesis. Ultimate energy, all day energy, especially if you're older, your cells will feel it, let me tell you. And then we got power plant. We got something that's basically the new super male vitality. While methylene blue and methyl drive optimize energy at the cellular level, power plant converts it into physical performance. Cordyceps boosts oxygen efficiency and carrying capacity. Golden root controls cortisol and boosts dopamine and norepinephrine. It was literally the herb that the Viking warriors chewed on the boats. Golden root, Arctic root, as it's also known, plus the full male mineral complex in general, but really Supermale Vitality 2.0, zinc and boron, highly bioavailable, highest doses possible. Infowars.com, Gray Area, American Journal. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now, new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up, go to the UN's own website, they admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house where it put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultra methylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel, so good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealbumshow.com. It's T3. It's X2 back even better at thealbumshowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealbumshowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealbumshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.